Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, November 16th, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140, and our participant code is 385398. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send it to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. See the banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side. And we're going to start off tonight with a reading of God's Word. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Matthew 5, 1 through 16. And seeing the multitudes, he went up onto a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Okay, that was Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. OK, Okay, tonight's topic is on a paper we wrote this past week, and we did send it out over the weekend. It got out late on Saturday, so it was deposited in a box, and they probably didn't get it out till Monday morning unless they had a pickup later in that day. I don't know. But in any event, they should be receiving them some Tuesday and some Wednesday. I don't think we started faxing out yet. I'll have to talk with Gary and make sure he gets a copy for faxing. I don't think you have a copy for faxing, Gary. But we'll connect and get that out.
No, not yet. I don't. But okay. Hey, can we just take 1 second? Can you redo the dial-in number and passcode? You munged the passcode.
Oh, 605-562-3140. Participant code 385-698. And when you get your eyes checked, maybe you can get your hearing checked, okay?
Oh.
No humor there? No laugh? Okay. Anyway, I thought it was funny.
We can't laugh when we're muted.
Well, he wasn't muted.
No, I wasn't, but I was laughing on my end.
Okay, good. Good for you. All right. Before we get started, I just want to make a small announcement concerning that the ugly part of our tasks, and that is money. You know, it takes money to make things happen. It takes money to pay the bills. This past month, we were unable to pay all the bills, so we're kind of behind the eight ball, and we're somewhat of a struggle to catch up and keep up. Our bills are growing as we grow. And this past week, the last couple of weeks, we've been doing a lot of mailing, as a matter of fact. Mailing has begun to cost more than we anticipated, but we were asking people who have habeas corpuses going out if they would give us a donation of $60 or more to cover the cost. And some people have given more, and that's good. But we're realizing it's costing more like $100 for the mailing for numerous reasons. There's a lot of mailing going on. There's at least 8 to 10 people that have to be notified, sometimes more. And this has to be done numerous times, and some of them have to be registered, particularly the ones going to the courts. And also, because they're trying to hold back on us, they certainly don't want to give us the reins. They don't want to give our country back. But they are kind of resisting, and I know that they are nervous. On the federal level, they play with words. Everybody's got to mute their mic. Sounds are coming through here. Where was I? So we have to send them out. Now, when they resist, we send out a paper called, which is a contempt of court paper. We've kind of been working out how many days to wait. I think we have a formula now, 7 or 10 days, and then we go out with the, I think it's 7, 8 days, and then we go out with the contempt of court. And we'll give them 7 days, give them a week. If they don't do that, then we go out with the opportunity to amend. After that, there may be one other option, which we'll do as possibly a contempt of court, or we may move right to indictment. But we're about ready to start doing indictments on the federal level. And so those things will be going out. So what we did is we sent out a paper we're going to look at tonight, and it is a mandamus and a show cause, an order to show cause, and a writ of certiorari. And it was addressed directly to every chief judge in all 94 districts and every chief clerk in all 94 districts. Before we get into that, we do need some money, so anybody that can afford to give us a gift, donation, and I know quite a few people that come in on our calls are already given, but those who aren't given, maybe you can give us $5 a month or more. Those who are, maybe you can give us something a little extra this month so we can kind of catch up. But going back to our mail, and we do want to, matter of fact, we may get set something up on the site to try to reach a certain goal in order to perform a certain task. There are two tasks I'd like to perform as soon as possible. And I'd like one as soon as possible means within the next 2 weeks, 4 weeks at the most. And in the next task, right behind it, hopefully 2-4 weeks at the most. And the first task is Congress. Now, we have been sending papers out, faxes, but we have not addressed it very specifically to each of our congressmen and senators, U.S. congressmen and U.S. senators. That's 560, I believe, or 530, shall I say, 430 congressmen and 100 senators. So that's 530. Plus, we have to send it out to each of the 94 courts. That would be 94 plus the 530. So let's call it 630. We want to put each one of them on notice with a show cause, something that they have to respond to, just like we did with the chief clerks and the chief judges, which we'll talk about in a minute. So we'd like to get something very direct with them, something kind of very focused, a 3-page, 4-page maximum to each one and then filed in each court. We also would like to do the same thing for the sheriffs, directly naming the sheriffs individually. Now, this is a huge, huge task, okay? And we'll have to think about exactly how we would do this. I mean, I would like to put one piece of paper out there with just one sheriff's name on it and send it to him and then file it in all 94 courts and do that with each one. That's about 3,000 sheriffs. So that's quite a bit of paperwork. That's about 10,000 pages if we do a 4-pager, okay? And is that right? Let me think about that. Let's see. 4 pages per sheriff, 3,000, 4, 8, 12. Yeah, over 10,000. Okay, that's over 10 reams of paper. Matter of fact, it's 20 reams of paper. It's 2 full boxes. So it's a lot of work. If we can accomplish that, that would be huge because that would get the attention of every single sheriff. And we do want to do that. We put that one a little further down the road only because it's a big task. And I think I'd like to start off with Congress. And it would be a very specific, special mandamus directly to Congress with the show cause, so they have to respond. And the response we want is obedience, of course. And we're going to expect that obedience. We also need to do something very direct, and maybe after those two, do something very, very direct with the United States Supreme Court. I think maybe we might want to start moving towards a contempt of court, which we're going to discuss and think about that and go through all the stuff we have talked with them and see where they're at and what they should have done maybe. And, of course, at this point, they should have saved us. They should have saved the people. They should have stepped up, and they should have done something, and they haven't. And they have been ordered in a mandamus numerous times. And we did send one directly to them not long ago. But I think we need to send one more, find them in contempt of court with opportunity to amend. And where we go from there, we'll have to think about and proceed accordingly. But there are other things we can do. But at some point, we do go forward to an indictment. Now, indictments, there's going to be resistance. There's no doubt about it. But there's also going to be those who are going to succumb. We know of a judge that ran like the wind, trying to get away from being the focus of something, and some other judge took that place. And so, and little stories like this we kind of hear there and hear there. And so we do know that they have a fear because they do understand, some of them do understand our paperwork. I think they all understand our paperwork. They just want to play dumb. And at some point,
John, I don't think that they all understand. I think you got some real dumbbells, but I think enough.
On the federal level, you think so?
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're
real good at playing dumb, though. How could you play that part without knowing what it is?
Well, because they're working off the fiction. They think the fiction is going to save them. They think that they have an out and a protection. This is just like World War II, you know, the same thing is going to happen to them. There is no excuse. We've explained it to them very clearly and very carefully. But the key thing to this is we are a pretty big group. We have lots of people. We have word name recognition. We have lots of papers going out. Everybody kind of knows us. Everybody on the federal level is aware of us. A lot of them on the state level are aware of us. And so that's pressure. They know we're not a small group, and we're not easy for them to deal with. There's no real serious single targets. They could try to be doing something, but there's way too many people now involved in learning and following through what we're doing and understanding the program that, you know, others can pick up. You know, their days are numbered. It is that simple. And it's just a matter of time. So all we need is for them, one or two to fold. And once one or two fold, another will fold. It'll be like dominoes. And the ones who really resist and try to protect their district from their position, well, they will go into a district next door, for after all, they've gone totally rogue. They'll go to a district next door and bring up indictments. So, again, I think we're very, very close to that. We'll see how it goes. But time is coming. The clock is ticking. And the battle is about to commence on that level. They're going to have to do something. But let's go to the paper that we wrote to them, and I think the paper is pretty clear and strong. We wrote this paper very specifically because of a lot of the paperwork we're putting in, and also very specifically because of our writ of habeas corpus. We're in our process of habeas corpus. We're giving them certain amounts of time, you know, to really digest what it is that we're doing and respond properly. And it takes them a little while before, because they think, this is a bunch of internet crazies and they're this or that. But then they start to realize something, and then they'll get the default. Then they start to read the papers. For the first time, they read the papers, finally. And then they start to worry. And some of them are this way and some of them are that way. But, you know, we'll let God worry about putting the pressure on them. We'll just continue to put whatever pressure we can just by bringing to light their sins until they cave in and do the right thing, or they end up in jail themselves, because this is subversion against the United States of America committed by these people. We've got some letters or a letter or two that a judge has written, and I don't remember particularly, but I got to get back to the letter and take a look. And we're going to respond to one letter, and we'll probably read that letter when we do respond to that letter, and we'll read our response. And I think it's going to be quite interesting. We might even find a way to get it into, and we might very well put it into the record on all 94 courts, so they all understand, and it's clear to everybody. So it's a good letter. You know, as the Bible puts it, the enemies of God has become his footstools. And to some degree with us, they've become our footstool, because if they do respond, we just kick back and respond right back, and they're done. Because we have so much in history. We have so much in Supreme Court rulings, even state Supreme Court rulings. We have so much that's in the past, and the Declaration of Independence, the Magna Carta. We just have so much, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, way too much. And that's what we talk. And when they realize that, there is no defense against those things. There is absolutely none. A fraud is a fraud. And the fraud that they, capitalized on, let them come back and tell us, oh, that's old stuff. That's way back. Oh, really? Well, so is, goodness, what was the name of that in 1789? The Judicial Act of 1789, that was it. So it was the Judicial Act of 1789. That's way back, too. And by the way, only 4 years later, well, let me say 89, 90, it was 10, 11, 12, 13, only 13 years later after that act came out, Marbury versus Madison kicked the butt of that one and really put it to rest. The courts that they have open today are fictions, and the courts that they have open today are illegal. The courts that they have open today are fraud. They are not a court. They are frauds. And that's what we're calling them. So they themselves don't have a leg to stand on. And look, the older things are and the longer it's been around, the more power and authority it has. But our nation was created by the will of the people. We, the people, ordained and established this Constitution for them, and they need to obey it. And any authority that we have not given, they do not have. And anything they go forward with is fraud. When they injure us, then that is an assault upon we, the people. And so that is subversion against the Constitution, subversion against the people. There's no way they can get around it. I know they play their word magic, and they've created a process that they seem that they've been able to play chess with people and pretty well come out on top. But I think now they're not on top, because we are bringing the most powerful things that created us. You just can't defeat it. Okay, so let's read this paper. Again, this is from We the People, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, the Sureties of the Peace. And it is against the chief judge and the chief clerk of all 94 courts. And we literally created a paper with the name of the chief clerk and the chief judge. That's it, two names per paper, sent to the chief clerk and the chief judge. Also, we filed it in the same court, of course, the district court, and we did that 94 times for all of them. So this makes it very personal and focused.
Did you tell them to stop imitating the court?
Next step. We should have done that on this
they're
one.
They're imitating
next
the
step.
Court is what they're doing, really. I mean, that's what they'll accuse you of, but we don't want to look like them. We don't want to do anything like they do.
Exactly.
That's what we're going to do with that letter.
That's what we're going to do with that letter when we put that letter. I'm not sure whether that came out from a judge or a lawyer, and I'm pretty sure it came out from a lawyer, but if it came out from a judge, that came out from the judge, too. Go ahead.
The judges are only going to talk through their lawyers most of the time. They know better than – look, at that one Supreme Court judge, he made the video. It said, don't talk to cops. Don't open your mouth. Well, guess what? They're going to do that to the grand jury. Don't open your mouth.
Right. Well, then they, you know, then they admit when they – because they have a duty to speak. They don't have the right or the authority. You know, I can't believe that we are that dumb. When the IRS came up before the the Federal Reserve or the IRS. Well, I don't remember which one it was, but I remember seeing this on TV.
It was the IRS.
Was it the IRS? And they claimed that they didn't have. They claimed the. What was it? The Fifth Amendment, the right to.
She pleaded the Fifth. They were said that she was told to go after Tea Party people and that, and she didn't want to talk.
Right. Well, guess what? Guess what? They can't plead the Fifth. You know, either they claim to be government individuals in a government agency. And they're not. When you go after them for not being that, they say they are. So let's go after them for claiming to be what they are. Let's see what they say or do then. Because look at anybody that is an elected individual or an appointed individual, and they're appointed anyway, they're in a position, they have a duty to speak. They cannot, when they're doing the people's business, they cannot call for the Fifth. They have to speak. They have a duty to speak. And if they don't speak, it's fraud, and you get them for fraud, and that's that.
Not only
that's
did she
simple
not
thing, you know,
speak, yeah. They found out that she lied because they found it in a taped conversation or in emails or something. So they had incontrovertible truth, undeniable truth that she lied. Because she said what she said, what they accused her of, that she was being pressured into doing that. So what happened to her? Nothing. So that's our system.
And that's exactly where we are right now. They have the duty to speak, and we're going out them individually by name, and that's where we have to get to. And in order to do this, you know, it's gonna cost money. You know, we have to buy stamps, we have to buy envelopes, we have to buy paper, we have to buy toner, and then we have to assemble a group of people and together and put it together. You know, there's only only two people working on this particular project we did, which went on only to 94 chief judges and 94 chief clerks. And it still took 2 days to get it all together, line it up, get everything printed out, stuffed, folded, crimped, stamped, and sealed. And 2 days. It took all day Friday and all day Saturday. So it's a lot of work, and it is money. And we need to get the money. If people want to get this job done, we need money.
Just think what we could do if we had the money just to do that. Look, they put money together and they buy the courts back. That's what they do. That's how the lawyers operate. That's how this whole system operates. You get all the justice that you can afford. But look at us. We're not buying the court back. I mean, if we had enough money, we could buy the court back, right? But then
absolutely.
You'd end up with the same court you got now.
Almost 5,000 members. If all of our members gave us $5 apiece, that's $25,000 a month. Can you imagine what we can do with $25,000 a month?
Every dollar goes back into the effort. It's the best bang for your buck in America today. It actually going into the work of saving the nation, you know? I mean, you know, we got people doing GoFundMe this and GoFundMe that. How about GoFundMe Freedom?
Right. Well, we're going to try to do that, another one of those things, maybe. I know we made a few thousand off the last one. It didn't do as I anticipated because, you know, look, if those people out there are really into other things, things that they're going to benefit, they don't understand how important this is that we're doing. They don't even understand that we're in a state of emergency, and therefore they're not paying attention. But we know. 5,000 people know, and tens of thousands of people that are following us beyond our membership. There are lots of people that follow us and are not members. Okay, so there are lots of them. So we've got quite a few people. If everybody threw in $5 a month. Now, this month, we didn't make all the bills. We're behind in the bills at this point in time. But we did get the mailing out, and we're pressing towards the mark, and now we're trying to finish off paying the bills and then start getting ready for next month's bills. We're already on the 15th or whatever it is today, the 16th, I think it is. So, look, we need help. Let's do it. Only the people can save America, and that's on our front page. Only you can do it. I can't do it, and no one person or no small group can do it. We, the people, can do it and have to do it. Okay, so we, the people, unified United States, common law grand jury, the sureties of peace against each and every one of the individual chief judges and chief clerks by name called defendants. This is quorum nobis, and quorum nobis means before ourselves, the king's bench. So when they tell us we're imitating the court, not at all. We are the king's bench. We are coming in quorum nobis, and we tell them right there on the front page. And that makes us even more powerful. We give them our own case number, 1776-1789-2015, de jure. That's a de jure case number, probably the only one they have on record as far as today is concerned. Writ mandamus, order to show cause, and writ certiorari. Okay.
Certiorari, I think it is.
C-E-R-T, you think it's certiorari?
Certiorari, I don't know. I'm probably not pronouncing it right either.
Yeah, I don't know.
Between you and me, are both bad pronunciations. People might actually know.
Well, what if we play our voices at the same time and overlap? Maybe we'll get them right. You think? Anyway. Okay, well, the certiorari or certoria, however you might pronounce it, is Latin meaning to be informed of, to be made certain in regard to. It's a name of a writ of review or inquiry. And so that's what that is. Writ mandamus, of course, is a summary writ issued from the court, competent jurisdiction, to command performance of a specific duty which a relator is entitled to have performed. Okay, so it's a writ of mandamus, order to show cause, and writ certiorari. Order to show cause means they must respond. Okay, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, the sureties of peace, also known as the Judicial Tribunal, hereinafter the UUSCLGJ. Every time I come there, I'll just say grand jury. On behalf of we, the people of the United States of America, in this court of record under our own authority, commands the above said chief judge and chief clerk to uphold their oaths by filing and processing all papers from the common law grand jury without cost and without performing tribunal decisions or show cause within 7 days by what authority you act contrary. By the way, there is a copy of this up on our page. You can go click on Highlight News and click on Court Filings, and I think you can just click on News and get there. Or you can go to powerofthecountysheriff.com, and you'll get there also. And this is number 12, show cause to the chief clerk and chief judge. So PDF copies on two of those places on our website. Okay, we're on page 2 of 4. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. That's the title. In courts of record, judges perform the duties of magistrates, and the tribunal adjudicates according to the course of common law. All court officers are expected to know the law. Ignorance to the proceedings of a court of record will not be an excuse. Blackstone, in the third volume of commentaries, page 110, defines a mandamus to be a command issuing in the king's name from the court of the king's bench, quorum nobis, also known as tribunal, and directed to any person, corporation, or inferior court of judicature within the king's dominions, requiring them to do some particular thing therein specified which appertains to their office and duty, which appertains to their office and duty, and which the court of the king's bench has previously determined to be right and just. Lord Mansfield in Three Boroughs, Marbury versus Madison. The first common law grand jury was assembled by the people. See Magna Carta, paragraph 61. We the people proceed the same, quorum nobis. Court, second paragraph, the person and suit of the sovereign, the place where the sovereign sojourns with his regal retinue. Is that how you say that, Gerard?
Regal retinue.
Yeah, I think I got it, huh? Anyway, wherever they may be, an agency of the sovereign created by it directly or indirectly under its authority. And by the way, the regal retinue is actually a royal gathering, also known as the king's bench. So that's very, very important to realize. Wherever that may be, an agency of the sovereign created by it directly or indirectly under its authority, consisting of one or more offices established and maintained for the purpose of hearing and determining issues of law, the fact regarding legal rights and alleged violations thereof, applying the sanctions of the law, and authorized to exercise its power in the course of law at times and places previously determined by lawful authority. That's in Black's Fourth, also Isabel versus Stovall, U.S. Court. Okay, habeas corpus. Hang on one second to see where we're at here. Okay, habeas corpus. Therefore, in the proceeding of in the processing of petitions addressed to the King's Bench, we appoint the District Chief Judge to summarily hear and determine the facts and dispose of the matter as law and justice requires under American jurisprudence, also known as the rules of common law, not Chancery, and send a certified copy of the decision to the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury for judicial review. If the respondents default, the Common Law Grand Jury receives an affidavit of default from the petitioner, and the Common Law Grand Jury files the affidavit of default with the clerk under seal as per Federal Rule CP Rule 55A. Federal Rule CP, Rule 58B2 and 28 U.S.C. subsection 2243. And the defaulting respondents must abate at law under the law of the land. The right of habeas corpus is not to be denied. To derail the process is high treason, and you are herein notified we will indict all who resist. Seditious conspiracy. Because of the advocating of the overthrown of the government by the advising and teaching of full law what is not law, with the intent to destroy the law of the land, such as taught and executed by the bar and bar tour judges, and those who abet, such as clerks, are equally guilty of treason under 18 U.S.C. 2385, by the widespread failure to file, concealing, and removing of records, proceedings, documents, and other things filed or deposited with the clerk or officer of any court of the United States, and shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 3 years under 18 U.S.C. 2071. And when the judge and the clerk act together, seditious conspiracy under 18 U.S.C. 2384. And it is for this these reasons we file in all U.S. federal district courts. And with our unique case numbers 1776, 1789, 2015, to prevent such criminal widespread expunging of our papers, and command all chief clerks to accommodate our filing under said case with proper judicial procedural recourse or face indictment for the same. Next paragraph, intimidation. Judges that engage in misleading conduct using intimidation, threats, or corruptly persuading clerks in misleading conduct with the intent to prevent an official proceeding, alter, destroy, mutilate, or conceal a record or document with the intent to impair the object's integrity or availability for use of an official proceeding shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both under 18 U.S.C. 1512B. Clerk is to file. Next paragraph. We're on page 3, by the way. Clerk is to file. A clerk of the court, which is with a vested legal right through appointment. And I wanted to make this point, and I forgot to. There are 94 chief clerks in the federal courts, one for each federal district. They are supposed to be, if they're not, they're supposed to be appointed by the President of the United States, 94 of them. There are 94 chief judges, one for each district. They are supposed to be appointed, and I'm sure they are, by the President of the United States. There are 94 U.S. Marshals. They are appointed by the President of the United States. There are 94, let's see, we got the judges, we got the clerks, we got the marshals. Oh, 94 FBI special agents. They are appointed by the President of the United States. Marbury versus Madison says that the president has the power to appoint these officers, but he does not have the power to unappoint them. No one can fire any of those people. They are in for their term, some 4 years, some 6 years. They're in for the term. Nobody can fire them. So they have to do the ability to do the right thing, and no one can stop them because they can't be fired from their job. The only thing they can be removed from their job is by us, we the people. We can indict them, and they're removed from their job. Other than that, there is no way they can lose their job. So we need to make sure that they understand that and that they have the authority and the power to tell the judge where to go and where to take a hike to. And also we're going to inform them, as the paper will say, that they need to report any judge that tries to intimidate them. They need to report any judge that tries to convince them to hide or misfile these papers. And right now, I believe our papers are being misfiled. That's one of the other reasons why we wanted to write this paper, because we're going now for proof. We want to know where our papers are. I know that there is one court that has moved to prove our papers into miscellaneous filings, which means it doesn't pass through the threshold of justice. It doesn't go through the threshold of procedure, which means it goes to a file and goes to sleep and forever forgotten. So they think they can get away with that. Well, that's concealment. That's what that is.
You're not supposed to know this stuff.
They should know that.
No, you're not supposed to know.
Oh, right. Well, it doesn't seem that many people read this stuff. You know,
they didn't know that people like us still exist that can read and write and make sense and hold their feet to the fire. They thought that they left on the last train to the coast with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're looking at us like we're a bunch of crazies. They didn't even know this existed, some of them. And look, they're afraid of a runaway grand jury, but they're thinking in statutory terms. Can you imagine a grand jury that would actually go in and hold them to their own statute? They're death afraid of that because they can't follow their own statutes.
You know, someone needs to inform them. We're on our way.
Look, they could drive them crazy. Look, we're coming in, and we're going to hold them to common law, which means all that statutory stuff, you know, we're going to make it go away, but we're not chasing them for that. You know what I mean? We're going to erase that. Now they have to do honor, justice, and mercy under the law. And that's the thing. And that's what our works are about.
Okay, back to page 3 of 4. We're in the top, right close to the top. Clerk is to file. I read the first sentence. I'm going to read it again. A clerk of the court with a vested legal right through appointment cannot be removed from office but by indictment, and is to serve out the term appointed under 5 U.S.C. 137-173, Marbury versus Madison, 1803. Therefore, chief clerks are not to be intimidated to perform criminal acts. Clerks are to file under 18 U.S.C. subsection 2076 without partiality, and are to prevent and report to the grand jury any attempted criminal act of a judge. Ignorance of the law will not be an excuse. And the filing of any grand jury paper under miscellaneous or some judicially inactive file is considered concealment, because it does not cross the threshold of process of law. This is an indictable offense. Next paragraph, summary proceedings. Judges are our servants, not our masters. They are not to judge the people. That is why we the people, as jurists, from where all laws derive, judge the people and hold summary proceedings unlawful and an indictable offense. Summary proceedings. Any proceeding by which a controversy is settled, case disposed of, or trial conducted in a prompt and simple manner without the aid of a jury, without presentment or indictment, or in other respects out of the regular course of the common law. In procedure, proceedings are said to be summary. when they are short and simple in comparison with regular proceedings, e.g., in comparison with the proceedings which alone would have been applicable either in the same or analogous. I think I know what it means, but I don't know how to pronounce it. How is it?
Analogous.
Analogous. Thank you, Jan. Analogous cases.
It's like the same as or likened to.
Right, similar.
Thank you. If summary proceedings had not been available, Phillips versus Phillips. Next paragraph, free justice and open courts. Free justice and open courts, remedy for all injuries. In most of the state constitutions, there are provisions varying slightly in terms which stipulate that justice shall be administered to all without delay or denial, without sale or prejudice, and that the courts shall always be open to all alike. These provisions are based largely upon Magna Carta, Chapter 40, which provides, "We will sell to no man. We will not deny to any man either justice or right." The chief purpose of the Magna Carta provision was to forbid the king from selling justice by imposing fees or litigants through his courts, and to deal a death blow to the attendant venal and disgraceful practices of a corrupt judiciary in demanding oppressive gratitudes for given or withholding decisions in pending cases. It has been appropriately said that in a free government, the doors of litigation are always wide open and must constantly remain so. The extent of the constitutional provisions has been regarded as broader than the original confines of Magna Carta, and such constitutional provisions has been held to forbid the selling of justice not merely by magistrates but by the state itself. American Jurisprudence, Constitutional Law, subsection 326. Next paragraph. Filing fees apply to the de facto courts. Plaintiffs should not be charged fees or costs for the lawful and constitutional right to petition this court in this matter in which he is entitled to relief, as it appears that the filing rules were originally implemented for fiction and subjects of the state and should not be applied to the plaintiff, who is the natural individual and entitled to relief. Hale versus Henkel. Next paragraph. A constitutional provision that rights and justice shall be administered according to such guarantees is mandatory upon the departments of government. Hence, it requires that a cause shall be heard before a prejudicial court. The word prejudice, however, in the constitutional provision that justice shall be administered without prejudice. These guarantees cannot be destroyed, denied, abridged, or impaired by legislative enactments. Marbury versus Madison. Anybody who hasn't read Marbury versus Madison, we do have it in a couple of places on our website. You gotta read Marbury versus Madison. What a powerful paper, one of the first most powerful papers written by real justices. Page 4, right to the court without fees. As found in New York, XRL, Bank of Commerce versus Commissioner of Taxes, the City and County of New York, 2 Black, 620, 1863. Please take the mandatory notice, Federal Rules of Evidence, 201D, that plaintiff has a lawful right to proceed without cost based upon the following law. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that a natural individual entitled to relief is entitled to a free access to judicial tribunals, that is, the grand jury. Also, of course, trial jury if they're in courts, and public offices in every state of the union. People have a right to call up the court and say, "I would like to talk with the grand jury." They have an absolute right of that fact, and they can go in and tell the grand jury anything they please. And if the grand jury wants to act on it, that's their business, and there's hell to be paid then. So a natural individual is entitled to relief is entitled to free access to its judicial tribunals and public offices in every state of the union. 2 Black, 620, Crandall versus Nevada. Extortion. Any requirement of a fee for justice will be considered extortion, and we will indict without notice. Next paragraph. The federal chief judge of each district is appointed and takes an oath, and therefore is responsible for the policies and actions of all judges in each district. And the common law grand jury likewise has given the chief judge the non-transferable appointment and responsibility of responding and proceeding, processing all legal documents filed by the common law grand jury within each district. Likewise, the chief clerk is appointed and takes an oath, and therefore has the responsibility for the policies and actions of all clerks receiving in his or her name. Therefore, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury will hold the chief clerk liable for all of the aforesaid U.S. Code violations by any common law grand jury actions, writs and or indictments that are not filed. The common law grand jury will hold the chief justice liable for the enforcement of our documents. And if both judge and clerk failed in their duties, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury will consider the dereliction of duty as conspiracy and high treason, and the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury will indict without further notice. Final judge, paragraph.
You have to slow down and let the judges now catch their breath. They're spitting and holding their hearts after
good.
That.
Okay.
Look at where you're going to post.
Let us pray.
You're going to post this on court filings, right?
Well, we should talk about doing that, yes.
Yeah, because people like to read this stuff, and look, we're sending it out, so everybody
right.
should get to know what this says.
I don't know the process or procedure of that, but let's look into that tomorrow.
Okay, yeah.
We should post all of our stuff up there.
That's right, because they're not used to this. This has to go viral, John, because it's the only way that it's going to stand. When people read this and they understand what we're doing, they think we're crazy. Look, we're taking a leap of faith. We're walking up and kicking that monster in the knee. And that's because of our works and our faith. Look, you have to have faith that men will see the truth if you prevail it, and that's what we're doing. And that's what. And if we don't have faith, we're not going to prevail. But anyway, this is a big fight, and people should know what we're doing, and they should read these words and see how powerful they are. And I mean, just think of what it makes these people feel that are up there that think they're untouchable.
Right. Well, that's the point of these whole things, is exactly that, of course, and that is to really start to get them nervous. Hey, 20 years in jail. We're going to indict you. If you think our indictment isn't going to stick, well, if it don't stick today, it will stick tomorrow. It's only a matter of time. That's what they need to understand. And we do know we have judges that recuse themselves, that don't want any part of it, and they run away. And that's because they're frightened. And that's why we chose the chief judge, the chief judge, on a couple occasions, tried to push it off to other people. Nope, can't do it. We appointed them, and they need our permission to choose someone else. Why? Because there is so much crime going up there, we're going to hold that chief judge responsible for all the crime within his district, because that's his job. That's why he was appointed. He chose all the judges underneath him. It's his job to make sure that they're obedient. They're acting under his name, under his appointment. And so they're responsible, and we're going to hold them responsible. Same thing with the chief clerk. Okay, back to the last paragraph. Wherefore, it has been adjudicated by the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury that any and all clerks and or any all judges in this district who do not perform their duties by appropriately and immediately filing and processing this writ and all Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury documents, and who do not return proof by mailing a copy of the time-stamped front page of this and all documents within 3 days to the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury in the enclosed self-addressed envelope, will cause that the chief judge and or the chief clerk of this district be indicted forthwith on the aforesaid USC violations and other appropriate charges to the fullest extent of the law. It is further commanded that the chief clerk distribute to all clerks and all judges in this district a copy of this writ as notification to all clerks and all judges within this district. The court, November 13, 2015, grand jury foreman in a seal. Writ mandamus, order to show cause, writ citoria. They have been put on notice, and at this point, we got to follow up with our words, and we're going to do that. So it's really the battle is really engaged at this point, and I'm sure they'll be meeting this week throughout. Phones will be ringing, and they'll be discussing it. And is going to get some judges going to say, hey, I'm not going against this. Some judges might even resign. Who knows what they're going to do.
Hey, John, I just realized this is a public document. The minute you send it to them, it's a public document.
Correct.
When you file it with them, it's a public document. So people that have access to newspapers and stuff, they should be printing this.
Right.
Because this is public documents nobody's going to ask for. It's up to the people to get this out to the people. You know,
well,
we
have about 400 news publications across the nation that we have the email address for, and we were emailing things. I kind of stopped doing that, but I think we're going to play catch up with that and get these documents out to them again. Because, look, I'm not hearing of any of them reporting on this or doing anything. I think it's too big for them, and they don't know what to do with it because they're used to talking to third graders because that's how they talk to the people in newspapers,
yeah,
third graders.
File a paper in court, and then you send it to the paper to publish. And they don't publish it, and it's something that the people are filing. This is a big case. This is the people coming back out talking to the government, and if they don't even stick it on the back page someplace, what they're doing is they're hiding it.
Concealing.
The least they should do is put a little. They should put a little. When you do a press release and you say, "Look, this is what we released." Somebody in that newspaper's got to be reading this stuff, and maybe they wouldn't put every one of them out, but when they see a pattern coming in, they're obligated to report this to the people. After all, it's a public paper in a public court, and it's very powerful. Of course, they don't want it, like you said, but look, at the alternative news should start first, and the other ones will pay catch-up. We know how that works.
Yep.
Okay, I yield.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of that paper. And again, this paper has gone out. We've spent quite a bit of money to get this paper out and quite a bit of work to get it done over the weekend. And we do really seriously want to get more papers out. Faxing is good and getting them, but to actually put a name of an individual and personally mail it to that individual with that person's name on it in their personal district and filing it in their personal district, that really rocks their boat. That rattles their cage. And that's what we want to do. We want to do this even to the sheriffs. They need to understand that they need to be taking us extremely serious, that they need to become, it's their duty to become educated, to become knowledgeable of the Constitution. And we're going to start calling sheriffs soon, starting off, of course, with the ones that we have paperwork in their districts, in their areas, which they're in the district, to make sure that they understand what our papers are all about. We're going to inform them that they have a duty to obey the law and the Constitution. And if they don't understand the Constitution, they don't understand the law, they either have two choices. They should either resign and leave their office now, or learn. And if you don't know how to learn, come to nationallibertyalliance.org. Come to powerofthecountysheriff.com and read that page and read those papers and take our free civics course. And we are in the process of getting the handbooks, administrative handbooks. That's now back in process. We had started that a little while ago, but we kind of put it on the back burner because we had so many other things going on. But now we're organized well enough that we're able to get some time to start working on that. We're also going to start working on a very special course for the Constitution, particularly focusing in on the powers of the three branches of government, what they can do, and anything we don't talk about, we need to make it absolutely crystal clear. They don't have the power or the authority to go and do it. If it's not in here, then they can't do it. And anybody who looks at what they're doing and understands what we're talking about will see that 99.9%, and I do not think that that's an exaggeration. I really do not think that 99, at least 99% isn't. I think 99 and some other decimal may very well be 9%. Because for every one thing they do right, they do 1,000 things wrong. That's 99.9%. When was the last time we saw anything coming out of Congress that was legal? Everything they do is illegal. When was the last time we seen anything coming out of our Supreme Courts, our federal courts, or our state courts that's constitutional? When was the last time? I have never seen it. And I've been in the courts now over 5 years, and I haven't seen it. So when was the last time we seen the President of the United States do something lawful? I haven't seen it. Everything he does, everything he says, everything they all do is unconstitutional. They have no authority, they're out of order, and they're a subversion against we the people, the United States of America. And they need to repent, and get back and learn what needs to be done. Look at most of them are useful idiots. We understand that. We all were useful idiots at some point in time. But we've woken up. We've educated ourselves. They need to do the same thing. And they're in power. They're elected. They're getting paid. They're our servants. And they're going to be held accountable. We have put them on notice. There is no excuse. They know. And that's why I really believe we have to send a personal paper to every one of these people with their personal name on it to make them know that they are liable, responsible, they're on notice, and we're going to get them. They have the opportunity to repent. They have the opportunity to do the right thing. They can help us save America. But if they don't, we got to hold them liable. We can't turn back. You know, we've set forth, the plow has gone forth, and we need to go forward, and we're going to go forward. All right, with that, Gerard, I'll pass things
over
to you.
If we don't hold them liable, guess what? God certainly will, won't he?
And he'll hold us liable, too, because we know, and we shirk our duties. We didn't do that which we need to do.
We're the watchmen shouting, John, so
that's right.
I think we did our job. Now,
we haven't finished. We have power, and we're going to use that power.
Right.
So we haven't finished our job. We got to continue. That plow's in motion, and we got to keep going.
Right. So your vision, not your vision. I mean, forget it. I lost a word. Okay. Let me get to the board here.
Well, you sound like me. What's going on here?
I don't know. I completely lost a thought in my head.
Okay.
I even lost my board. Hang on.
Come on, find the board.
Our dream, Jan said. Thank you, Jan. Anyway, we're going to go through and take the... anybody in the districts that got anything to report, we'll open up the floor for them first in the queue, and then we'll move on right directly after that to our question and answer queue. Okay? So anybody who's – I mean, we got a lot of stuff. I know we have stuff, but I'm not going to –
Yeah, we have a paper that Jan put out. I don't know if you got a copy of that of people that want to speak tonight. I know Nathan is one. You might want to call him into the queue. And there's a few others. Jan will probably throw some in your text chat.
Yeah, put them in there because
to
I
let
don't
you know.
Don't.
And you can call them out and let them give whatever information. You know – We kind of changed the format or the way we're doing things on a Monday call because it is time now for the people to get active. It's time for the people to take leadership roles. And when they get into those leadership roles, to inform all of us where that committee and what they're doing is going and what's going on. And so this is kind of almost like a board meeting at the same time. We're being, informed on what's happening, where we're going, what we're doing, and what we need others to be doing. And by the way, let me just take a few more minutes here because there was another thing I wanted to bring up. We talked about this last week. I want to talk about this again just for a minute or two. We desperately need assistance. Look at, we have a lot of sheriffs' names. We have all the sheriffs' names, and we have all their phone numbers. We have most of their fax numbers. I don't think we have all their fax numbers. We have most of their email addresses. We don't have all of them. But we need now all of their physical addresses, too. The same thing for U.S. Congress and the U.S. Senate. We need names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email addresses, everything we can get, okay? So we need everybody coming to our meetings, everybody listening to our calls. We need everybody to give us an hour or two a week to help us to discover the names of people in your areas, in your states, in your counties, in your federal districts. We need this assistance. We got governor's information. We got chief. We have all the chief justices now. We got all the chief clerks. We got all their addresses. I don't think we have all their fax numbers.
You're stealing JP. You're stealing JP's. John.
Okay. But anyway, we need help here. JP will fill us in more. Okay?
Right, because
got to get this stuff out, man.
Look at JP has. He'll tell you about the page he has, which is color coded, so it makes it very easy at a glance to see what's missing in your state.
But all right, well, look, and after JP's done, I'll get up with my whip, too. I'll use it.
Okay. So, Jay, you listen when JP talks. The other thing is we got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of people doing a lot of things. A lot of these habeas corpuses are ripening now, and we're at a very critical stage. And so we, you know, the groups that are writing and taking care of and making phone calls and talking to sheriffs and trying to save people's lives are very busy behind the scenes here, whether you know it or not, you know, because we know that one domino only has to fall, and it's going to happen at this level. You can't drop the ball when you're this close, so it takes time. I mean, I was on the phone having to do with one of our habeas corpuses for much of the day today, getting that case nailed down so that when I'm talking to somebody up there, I know what I'm talking about. You know, because we're getting to the point where we're going to activate the sheriff to go and tell the judge that, you know, you can't lie to me like that. You know what I mean? So that's pretty exciting stuff that we're coming down to. So anyway, I know Gary's dying to get into this, so you can exhale, Gary. I'm going to bring you in. Go ahead. You have the floor.
I think Gary had to leave, so this is Jan.
Oh, it's 10 o'clock.
Yes, the bewitching hour, the pumpkin and all that. Yeah.
And he didn't get a chance.
No.
His car turns back into a pumpkin.
Yep. It's a big orange mess.
Somebody has to sleep at night. It's certainly not me or John or whatever. Poor Gary's going through what I went through last year. All my joints seized up. So I have empathy. Anyway,
grease job.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm feeling pretty good right now, but that was it. Last year. I was on my back for 2 months.
Good.
Anyway, we took care of that little problem.
What I would like to say is just that we've succeeded in getting the weekly newsletter out for 3 weeks now, and I've been getting some good and some other comments back on it and the things that are in it, and I would appreciate any comments on and material to put in it on anything that's pertinent or relevant to what we're doing for NLA at the moment. It's a good place to put things that are going to come up on a schedule during the next week and so on, because it does go to every person. It isn't like you have to go to the website to look it up. But if you do, if you go under news, they're all posted under news now, the weekly newsletter. So if you have anything that you want to add to it, just shoot it to me, Jan, at nationallibertyalliance.org. And I'll go ahead and take a look at it and abbreviate it and put it in the newsletter for you. And that's good. All I had, Gerard. So go ahead with JP.
Okay. Well, that newsletter is a good thing. I've seen some good stuff coming out of it. And actually, there's stuff that should be responded to. Like, so everybody's not at the same level. And some people ask more advanced questions. And so, you know, our advanced people that know the answers to those should answer them. You know, because I don't always get to see all of them. And so it's a good place for a learning process for all levels, for, you know, beginning to end. You know, people bring stuff up, and this is how we learn. But anyway, JP, you're going to have the floor. So without further ado, go ahead, brother.
Is he muted? I don't see him.
Oh.
There he is. Let me unmute him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want me to go into Q&A and they can get into the queue, all of the people that have anything? Okay, no. So he can get into the queue and anyone else, star six, right. And anyone else that we're calling that is going to give updates.
Right. We're going to have Nathan and California Dave can get in there first, and then we'll move on to the...
Well, yeah, we only want the people that are going to be giving us updates that have been pre-approved for updates or have something to deliver. But go right ahead.
I can unmute JP if you want. I see where he's hiding, if you want to take him first.
Yeah, he's in the...
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll unmute him right in the box here, so you can mute him back when you're done.
Right there.
Okay, yeah. JP.
You're open, JP.
Somebody remuted him.
Oh, okay, I
just unmuted him now.
Too many cooks.
We all hit
him
at the same time.
Yep.
Hello.
Yep.
Hello.
We hear you.
Yep.
Here we are. Finally. I got unmuted and muted about 6 times. Can you imagine that?
Your ears are ringing.
Hey. It was very interesting to listen to John early on, and all the actions that are taken right now. It's wonderful, wonderful. And we are going to help. I mean, I am going to help him as much as I can with the mail merge, with the list, and everything else. But we need to make an effort. I still have some states that have not responded to me. One is Texas. It's complete blank on Texas. The other one is Tennessee. I thought I was going to get some answers from Tennessee. By the way, by logging in the site, highlighting directory, going to the left column on elected official status page, you can, it's been updated just before the call, and you can check the status of your state, and that's what it is.
So everybody should do that. Say that again, because I think some people didn't get that. Go to okay. The tabs. Say it again.
No. First, you need to make sure that you're logged in.
Right.
Okay? That page does not show if you're just logged out.
Just browsing off the street, right.
That's right. So once you're logged in, highlight directory.
Directory, okay.
Then on the left column, go to elected official status.
Left column, elected official status. Okay.
That's right. And then at that point, you're going to come onto a page that is very much like a column and rows, and you can navigate left or right to see your state, which is at the top of the page. Okay. And if you see some blank, I mean white colors with ones, and I see there is a few ones missing here, but that means that we're still missing the files on your state. And I cannot do them all. Okay, these thanks to South Carolina that rescinded all their sheriffs, so now their sheriffs are. I finally complete 100%. I can report that Arizona is 100% complete. Congratulations. Colorado, complete 100%. Well, California is missing by one, but that's my fault, and I can get ahead of it. We got Kansas doing well with just one fax number missing for the U.S. Marshals, but this gives you a very good idea. By the way, I was a little deceived for last week, in the sense where I only received about four files from the people out there. We progressed 10 files. And we are now, if you slide all the way to the right, we are now on, let me see. Oh, it's jumping. We are now at 179 file missing, and we were at 100 and, I believe, 92 or 93 the week before. So the thing is that we're making small progress. At that rate, okay, of 10 to 11 files per week, to make that number go away to zero, 179, it's going to take us 18 weeks. People, this is too long. I need some efforts there. I need people to contact me. I answer every single email that are sent to me. My email, by the way, is jp@nationallibertyalliance.org. It's easy to remember. It's just two letters, JP for Jean-Pierre. The thing is, I need help. I need help on the district attorney. We still have 23 files missing from 23 states, or actually 27, I will say, or 26. The thing is that when I hear John talk, and him wanting to send some personalized letter to sheriff, state senators, congressmen, I mean, it is a wonderful idea, and we are close of being able to do that. We got some very serious files out there that are complete. The thing is that we still, I mean, in order to do that, I have to create a master file for each category, not each state, each category. For example, I have to have one single file for the district court chief judge, one single file for the chief clerks, one single file for the U.S. attorneys. Every single file has to have either address, I mean, for a mail, slow mail, address and zip code and state and city with a name and the proper appellation. Otherwise, if it is sent by fax, I have to have fax. If it is sent by email, I have to email. By the way, talking about emails, I believe that the state legislature, which means the House and the representatives, are only going to be contacted through emails because it is quite impossible to gather any other information as far as the faxes. Even the address sometimes is very hard to obtain. So the thing is that I think we are going to be strictly forced to use the email address because they are personalized. Anyway, I don't know. Did anybody have any questions for me? Jen, I thought you had some questions.
No? No, I did not.
No? Okay. No. So so basically, Louisiana is very poor, is doing poor. Kentucky is doing poor. Minnesota is doing poor. I mean, if everybody goes onto that file, we have a few states that are all green, but I mean, we still have a lot of things missing. And for crying out loud, people, I really would like to have once and for all the sheriffs 100% complete. I mean, I don't understand why I don't have anybody in Mississippi that is calling me with their address and their phone number or fax numbers. Okay, I don't understand it. I got missing addresses in Minnesota. I got missing address in Kentucky and Louisiana. I mean, the whole thing, the whole truth is on that page here. And if you would like, please, to consult the page and help me gather all the information, it would be wonderful. I yield.
Well, I would just like to add to that if everybody that's on the call tonight and is to respond to JP and give JP an hour of their time, we can finish this off by next week. If everybody was to call JP, send an email to jp@nationallibertyalliance.org and tell him what you'd like to try to help to fill in off of this chart, or call him and ask him, you know, what can I do? Who do you want me to look for? And if everybody did that and put in an hour or two, we would be done with this week, and we'd be exactly where we'd love to be and have all this information. So please, everybody, let's put some time into this. Give us an hour or two this week. And, you know, look, you could do this at 4 o'clock in the morning. You could do it any time you want. It's all internet work, research. You're just going to go to places and find email addresses and fax numbers and physical addresses for these individuals.
It's going to require also some few phone calls. I mean, we almost finished with the U.S. Marshal. I think we're about short 10 or 12. on 94, which is pretty good in my opinion. But
we have email addresses on the U.S. Marshals yet?
No, zero. Zero email.
Okay, so we got 94 marshals and we need 94 email addresses. And
you won't get them.
We had the fax, but we'll try if we can find them. I mean, but the same thing with the, how about the special agents in charge on the FBI? Do we have their fax numbers?
This is a category that I didn't concentrate on. And I need to talk to Gary tomorrow to find out if we need to add that. And
We definitely need them. We need to educate them. So there are 94 of them, one for each federal district, and maybe we can find a place where we can get them pretty easy. I don't know, but at least the facts.
To tell you the truth, I don't have even. I have never searched them, and Linda did not. Did not ask for the FBI because I believe that in the IRC process they are not needed. So yes, I understand we have to educate them and keep them posted and the whole nine yards. So I'll try to start something as far as that is concerned.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, John. I mean, you're doing a good job. And I believe I can help you on mail merge and making sure that those files are existing.
I appreciate that. And the key, of course, is getting all of the info. But mail merge has been pretty easy for me now. I've done it before, and recently I did this for what we just mailed out, and I kind of relearned it. It was a little rusty on it, but now I got it. It's pretty simple, so... but if I need your help on that, I appreciate it. But the key, of course, is getting us the list of the addresses and the information we need to put up for that email merge. Because it saves so much time to be able to put that right on the envelope instead of using stickers.
If I may add something, in Excel, please, no Word documents. Excel is the key.
Right.
You cannot mail merge starting from a database in Word. It has to be in Excel. Okay? Thank you all.
So you're saying you want the names in Excel. You don't want them on Word. Is that what you just
said?
Right.
But if someone, I think, and talk to Gary about this. I don't want anyone to act off of this until we confirm it. But you could do comma denominated. So if they put the name, comma, then we can transfer that right into Excel.
It's never formatted that way, John, and you know that. It's never formatted that way. It's in several columns. It's in several lines.
Absolutely. It's got to be in order, though, the same thing.
I understand what you're saying. It could be done in text. It could be done in CSV. The thing is, comma-separated values. CSV stands for comma-separated values. The thing is that it has to be a constant format.
Right.
Okay? Then at that point, you can open it in Excel and rearrange the data to make it work for mail merge. But you know what? Excel is not very difficult to learn. There's quite a few little videos on YouTube that can teach you a great deal in about 20 minutes. So anyway, the thing is that I said my piece.
Okay.
Hey, so, JP, this is Nathan. I sent you an email. I can help you with the stuff in Michigan. Also, I can get you the addresses of the legislators. That's available on the Internet if you don't already have them. But when your folks contact you, you're going to give them a blank spreadsheet to fill in or a semi-completed ones.
Yes, I can do that.
I think that would be very helpful.
The thing is, please refer to that page first, because I think Michigan, the only thing I need in Michigan, if you look at it on the website, is the court clerks and the city mayors.
Right. My email said I researched those for you.
I'm sorry?
My email said that I would look for those for you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate it. I really appreciate all the help I can get. Okay. And I would like to hear, I mentioned some states. Please, guys, come on. Come forward. Come for North Dakota. I could use some help, people. I don't know if anybody knows anybody out there, but pretty silent. I don't have any calls, you know. Anyway, I said my piece. I hope I'll receive more emails this coming week, and I'll be working on those and helping people. And that's it. I think I said it all.
Thank you, JP.
Okay. Thank you, and I yield.
Okay. Thank you very much. So, listen, real quick, directory, elected official status page, click on the link, open up this document. Green means they're completed. Purple is fax and email missing. If it's a one, it means the whole file is missing. So you can look at it real quick and see exactly what states and what's missing. It's kind of nice. Okay, I think we beat that subject to death.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
This is Nathan. Do you want the IRC update?
You're the next.
You're next on the queue.
You're the lucky winner.
Okay. We have 119 members in the IRC. We have 133 people who have completed the administrator's course. And we need 13,532 administrators to have the court system, grand jury court system, fully manned and operating. So we got a little ways to go. We have a tasking list, which is on the web page, but either no one's looking at it or no one cares about it, and perhaps then send to me, Nathan, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Other suggestions, but the IRC is set up to do research. So those of you who have researching skills, please contact me because I would like to get some researching activity going. And I will be making some calls to the members this week, the ones who have indicated that they're looking to do some work. Short and sweet. If anyone has questions, you can get to me at Nathan@nationallibertyalliance.org, or you know, get recognized and talk here at the call. I'm done.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much for that, Nathan. Okay, let's see. Who do we have up? Anybody?
California Dave should be.
California Dave. Yep.
Number one in the queue. You want to bump him?
Yeah, I'm going to hit number one. I'm going to hit next question. There you go. California Dave, go ahead.
Okay, guys, thank you. Just want to piggyback on JP's deal. If you're a director of a committee and your committee's not real busy, you might be able to marshal some of your committee members to help JP. JP may have already said this, but it probably would be helpful if you're considering working on part of the database. Contact JP to make sure somebody else isn't already working on us. You don't have six people working on the same set of data. Also, I want to thank John for, you know, helping people to decide what to do with their time. John has recommended in prior calls that we spend 80% of our time on education, which is defined as anything that does not include following up with the marshals or sheriffs. Now, when it comes to the marshals and sheriffs, we're kind of on a two-lane road there or maybe two parallel paths where NLA seems to think that the major leverage will come through controlling the federal level first, and then that will somehow help with the county level. So we'll hear some more about that later, but there seems to be a two-pronged strategy for educating and converting marshals and sheriffs at the same time. But John can get into that more later. Last thing I had is I want to thank all the past directors, the district directors, district coordinators for, you know, the work they did, and we are changing and evolving. So we appreciate, we embrace the change. Speaking of change, there are states where there might be listed state coordinators that may not be active. Maybe something come up in their life and they got dragged away. So if you're new or been around for a while and you're reaching out to your state directors, you're not hearing them, don't fear. Reach out to your national leadership and tell them you want to be a state director. Same with the county. Same with any of these projects. I know there's new people that are asking me, what can I do? What can I do? Start with the education and then spend your other time finding out where you can learn to be a leader or to bring your leadership skills to NLA. So with that, I'll keep it short, and I'm just real glad to be part of this organization, and Dave is out.
Thank you, Dave. And we do have lots of discussions about that, Dave, as far as, the pecking order. But look, the sheriff is probably more important than anybody thought, because if the marshals don't do their job, it's going to fall back to the sheriff. He's the constitutional police officer. He's elected, so that puts him pretty high up on the scale. I mean, he's not even appointed like they are, even though they're appointed for life. But he should have no problem moving into that venue.
Just a quick correction on that. Appointed for a term, whatever the Constitution. Well, the Constitution left it up to the legislators, and the legislators have chosen. I think the marshals are 6 years, so
right.
Whatever it is. So
they have a term, and the sheriff has a term too, but he's elected. And by the way, we have some people that are taking the advice. I keep telling people, if you don't have a good common law sheriff, then you should run. And we do have some of our members who have stepped up to the plate and that are running. And, I'd like to give them some advice. You got to do this right, and I think the common law is a thing that will resonate with the people, and that's how you got to run it. But you also got to run it so they don't think you're a kook, because they're scared. Everybody's scared. Everybody's been brainwashed about terrorism and sovereignty, and so there's a certain way you need to operate if you're going to run for sheriff, so they don't pick up and say, oh, you're one of them kooks that doesn't want to follow any laws. We don't want any laws, especially not their statutory ones. Anyway, that being said, we all should be wooing our sheriffs and checking them and wadaying them, or whatever you want to call it. You should be talking to them. And that's very important, because we're going to be asking them and ordering them to do certain things for us under due process. And under due process, you can order, because it's a process that's supposed to be done. That's the whole premise of this thing, that once something goes in, it goes from one stage to the next, and they can't not do it. And they're very used to getting away with doing things that they're not supposed to be doing, because nobody's been there telling them they can't, because they don't have any real grand juries checking any real stuff. So they're feeding them. They're all puppet, and they're all doing whatever the system thinks they need to do to make money. Imagine that. Anyway, I think California Dave, that was the last one. I'm going to clear the queue, and I'm going to go ahead and let everybody else that wants to get in, especially people who have never been in that are new, or somebody that has new stuff. So I'm going to clear the queue. And, okay, people can start getting in the queue now, and I'll start, and we'll start the question and answer. The first one in the queue is anonymous, and it ends with, 7394. I'm going to unmute you, and give me your name and your state, and go ahead. You are unmuted, anonymous.
Hi, Gerard, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, you unmuted Jeff instead of anonymous. You should hit next question. Hang on a second, Jeff.
I did hit next question.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's take Jeff and see if anonymous goes next. If not, you can Jeff him personally. Okay.
I tried to email JP. I was just hoping I could find out from him exactly where we go to the website to see what information we have for each state already. I was hoping he would have added that. I missed that.
Oh, I did it. I said it a couple times, and it's the contacts tab.
Yeah, you got to go to directory, highlight directory, and then after you highlight directory, come down about 5. You have to be signed in, don't forget, and you get selected official status page.
Oh,
and then
you
see the chart right there. So under directory, highlight directory, and click on elected official status page.
Cool. Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it very much. Take care.
Okay. Bye. Anonymous. I'm going to guess.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Who's this?
All right, this is Patrick. I'm over here on Northern New York area.
Okay. What's up, Patrick?
Okay, I've been working up here for a few years, doing basically what I've learned is ombudsman work, and I've came across the NLA, and I ordered 100 copies of your guys' common law handbook. I've been getting a common law handbook, citizens rule booklet, and the Declaration of Independence and Constitution.
Did you receive them in the mail already? The common law handbook.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep,
great,
I got everything.
Great.
It came in. Thank you guys. It was great. I sent in a bunch of information at first when I tried a couple months back. The emails kept bouncing back for some reason, either an overloaded email account or something.
Well, it depends. If you're sending something to me, to my email, I have an automatic responder on there, and a lot of people misunderstand it. I tried to explain maybe people don't read all the way through it, but basically, you know, it's just a responder. If you're communicating with me, great, I'll, you know, do what I can to get back to you. I am kind of overloaded, but if you got me on a list, and there are people who have me on lists, all kinds of email lists, and it just fills up my mailboxes, and I request all, that's why I put the responder there, and a lot of people still don't remove me. So, but generally speaking, you know, we have created enough, you know, we got a lot of people involved now, we got a lot of committees, we have directories, and there's a lot of other people that could be spoken to, except, you know, not necessarily that you have to come to me, and of course I'm always available here on Monday nights to speak to some degree, but you know, it's hard for me to get to all my calls, it's hard for me to answer the phone all the time, it's hard for me to respond to all the email, so I do what I can, and I have to put a lot of time. I've been relieved
right.
of a lot
so
of duties.
I guess what I'm asking is, do you guys have a representative for Northern New York?
For what?
Do you guys have someone that is covering Northern New York area, someone who is working with the NLA in the Northern New York area?
Yeah, we do have state coordinators. If you look into them, and if you're having trouble with them, the national leadership should be able to help you. And if you go to the directory, you can click on state leader, you know, state coordinators, and then go to New York. You should find quite a few of them, and give a call to them and try to partnership with them. Or if you want to be a state coordinator yourself, just get a hold of a national leader and let them know I want to get active. However, you want to get active, or if you want to join a committee, or even help create a new committee, you know, you bring it up to
right.
the national leaders, and if they think it's something we can use, and you know, we'll definitely go forward with a new committee, or take over an existing committee, or work with other committee chairmen. You know, just however you can get active.
Right. Yeah. I've just been working for about 6 months straight on complaint forms, claim forms, things that pertain to this area, as well as the United States of America. And I've got about 25 complaint forms together I mailed to the NLA on stuff I've been working on. And I'm trying to get other people involved and educated with what the NLA is doing and with what other groups are doing, which there's not very many groups that are actually involved. I don't know if you guys have heard of SUFA, S-U-F-A, on Facebook. I used to do stuff with them, but after I did what they suggested, I didn't really see any results. And the last thing that they suggested doing was recruiting for it. So I kind of got discouraged with that. But I'm really trying to find out, I guess I would really like to know what SUFA is doing, or what NLA is doing, in regards to helping communities get involved with the local government. And I also had a specific question because I'm struggling with this myself. I have been getting so caught up in all this education about all the trickery and name and the legal all the fraud that has been perpetrated on the American people by the Bar Association and all that stuff. And I was just I would really like to know if anyone has any tips. I've sent out over 30 complaints, 30 claims, 30 forms to different agencies that are supposed to investigate fraud. And I've studied about the state abbreviation and the ZIP, the Zone Improvement Program.
Look, you're not going to get anywhere with that because they don't care. And we've been all through that. What we're doing locally because it's so bad. And these agencies that you think are going to look at things, in New York State, they had to get rid of the agency that was overlooking the judges because they were more corrupt than the judges they were watching. And that's what, you know, when Cuomo came into office, they had to shut the public integrity office, or the one that's supposed to go after judges, because they were stealing more out of the probate court than the other judges were. So you're just you're blowing against the wind, basically. So
yeah, I'd like to make an amazing statement. You know, this is going to be really extraordinary and maybe even sound exaggerated, but every federal and state agency has been compromised. They're all been subverted, and they're controlled by lawyers, bar lawyers. And you're not going to get anywhere going through the agencies asking anyone for help. And if anyone does start to help you, they'll be corrected very quickly that they got to stop. And you won't get nowhere. We've been through this for years, and we're in the committee man process. And we're going to get back to the committee man because that's boots on the ground. But first, we've come to realize that we need to take our courts back. And if we take our courts back, we take the entire nation because we apply the law of the land to Article 6.
Okay, so taking our courts back. So I go try to take our courts back, and I end up in jail.
No, you can't do it yourself. Why do you think we're all over here banded up, filling these paperwork out in all the courts and all the states? Because you can't do it in one place. You have to do it everywhere, and you have to have people behind you, and you have to make a lot of noise, and you have to know what you're talking about, and you have to do a lot of stuff, and that's what we're doing. And what we're doing is by attrition, we're going to take it back. We're going to take it back because we're filing stuff everywhere to all of them so they can't deny it, and it's due process stuff. And the most important person locally right now, what NLA says, is number one is the sheriff. Your local, if you want to get involved, look, you should be involved in your local communities. When they're putting all this Agenda 21 crap in, you need to go to the town board meetings. But, you know, who has time? I mean, I was on the town board for 4 years, you know what I mean? I ran for office. We did the committee man. We sued the New York State Board of Elections because the party system has turned it from a bottom-up system to a top-down. Your committee man no longer picks your candidate. They give them a list to walk, petitions, and they're not even elected. And when's the last time a committee man came to your door and asked you what kind of candidate you wanted or suggested one? It's not working the way it was set up to be, and what happened is we went to sue them to say, look, this whole party thing is all screwed up. It's running – the corporations are running this, and the parties are running the officials, and guess what? We went into court and we said, this is terrible. The courts were worse, dare I say. So that's what we're doing here. And you know, look, you can run cases in traffic court and you can do certain things. And the only way you win is when they get tired of you and they make a deal and they get rid of you and they kick you out of the court type things. You know, that's the type of victories you'll get writing your own papers. But this is kind of like a Gandhi effect. One of the, in order for us to be successful, we have to be a force of one, and that's what we're doing. You know, our court watch was very successful. You don't need to go into court to fight because you're either going to help somebody who's fighting or you're going to end up in there yourself because they're out there every day picking people up. There's plenty. You're going to either end up with your own battle, or you're going to be end up helping somebody as a court watcher, making affidavits in court. Look, there's plenty of work to do just dealing with what we're doing. I mean, you know, anyway, I hope I'm answering your question as far as I understand you want to put pen on paper and go after them. And
well, you mentioned the court watcher. I mean, I have yet to have anybody do any court watcher. I mean, maybe I'm understanding it wrong, but I've had to recruit my own people to come with me to court to see what was happening. And I haven't had anybody.
You should, but you didn't. Yeah. You didn't plug into our court watcher system. You didn't get a hold of Gary and said, look, I got a case and I'm going to be in court and this is the day.
I sent multiple emails. I don't understand why it's not getting through.
And this was recently? I mean, we put it
who did you send the emails to?
Right. I've been trying to get this out for probably 3 months now.
Yeah, but who are you sending emails to that you need a court watcher? That's the question.
I could go through my emails. I'll probably have to get back to you tomorrow. But, I mean, I've been trying to get a hold of the NLA to let them know what I'm going through, that I do need assistance if anybody can show
up. Listen to me. I don't know how long you've been coming to the meetings, but there's methodologies for all this stuff. And I see you don't know it. Like, if you go on our site and on the right side is a smiley frowny. It's a frowny face that's built off like a smiley face.
Yeah, but that could be filing a case. He's looking for someone to help him on his case. But he can also do a habeas corpus if he's got a case. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah,
right?
I've already done that.
Yeah,
I've already
but on if you go to our directory and click on directory. And then you come down, you'll see committees, and then you'll see courtroom observers, and there's two individuals. There's Jeff, his phone number's there, and Laura, her phone number's there. One thing you want to do, and I push this all the time, and we purposely, from the very beginning, stayed away from counting in any way, shape, or form on emails. We're a proactive group. We talk. We get on the phones. We get on Skype. So you'll find phone numbers listed everywhere. You won't find many emails, although people will give you emails.
Yeah, I see Lauren here. Yep.
Yeah. So contact direct and look at it. If you have a problem reaching someone in a particular area, then you can't get help, then go up a little higher and get a hold of one of the national leaders. Our national leadership is always active, completely always active. And if they're not returning calls, then we need new leaderships there. But we haven't had that kind of a problem. But, you know, sometimes people get tied up or for whatever reason they lose, you know, whatever. But call those numbers. You should get people that'll help you out in whatever it is you need. And of course, if you're looking for habeas corpus, as Gerard said, click on the help and follow that process.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I did all that. That's all been done. I'm just waiting for a response of some sort.
Okay. Well, we'll check into it, and you should still contact your state.
Yeah, I didn't know that they were at the top of this list here,
right.
Laura and Jeffrey. But I can give them a call tomorrow.
There you go. Okay, you got homework now.
yep. Okay. Thank you.
One comment, Gerard.
I think your state coordinator is an active. Why don't you take his position or her position? Okay.
I might just do that.
Yes.
All right, thanks.
He unfortunately is located as far north as you can get in New York State, and there's absolutely zero people in that county. So he does not have any local help there. Like he says, he's had to go out and recruit his own. Now, he may be able to draw from counties farther south if people are willing to travel to help him.
What county did he say he was in? I missed
it. It's St. Lawrence County. It's
you're already up there. We've been up there, and you got the mountains cutting you off on this side. Yeah. Oh, man, you're isolated.
Doesn't a polar bear wander down there every now and then?
He's almost in another country.
But if you come down into Jefferson and Lewis, we do have people down in that way, in Oswego and Oneata. Yeah. We have people down there. And we do have some people farther up in Clinton and Franklin, and I think even in Essex. But, you know, you got the mountain there, and you got all kinds of, you know, barriers.
And if we ever got a hideout, we're coming to see you. How's that?
Sounds good. I got a piece of land you all can crash at.
There you go.
We're on our way.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Set up the beef.
Yeah. Very good. Next question is California JP.
Yes, one more thing. I hear Dave, and I'm assuming that Dave is not the only one, that is being asked, what can I do to help? Gary and I are in desperately looking for people that have 3 minutes on their phone so that they can call a number to get fax numbers. So this is very simple. You don't need to have Excel knowledge. You just need to be able to give a phone call to get some information.
So these are fax numbers that you want to verify. In other words, they're ones that you need to know if there's a fax there.
Some of them are just missing. We can find them.
Okay.
And a phone call, a gentle phone call can give us result.
Okay, so that's anybody. Right.
Anybody can do this.
Anybody can do it. Right. So this one, there's no restriction as far as Excel goes.
Exactly. You got it, Gerard.
Okay. Thank you very much, JP.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I don't know. I'm one of them guys that breaks out in a rash when you talk Excel. I'm sorry. Wonder Ann, you're unmuted. Go ahead. Are you there? South Carolina. Wonder Ann, you've been unmuted. I don't hear a peep. Oh, that was something. Go ahead and do it again. You're not coming through, Wonder Ann. Ooh, that sounds like, you sound like Darth Vader.
Maybe she fell asleep.
Yeah. Oh, maybe she's snoring. Well, that's embarrassing. I'm going to go to Auntie Ginger. I'm going to mute her. We'll go back to her maybe if I can figure it out. I'm going to mute Wonder Ann, and we're going to unmute.
Yeah, but you're going to blow the whole thing out of order if you... Yeah, that's the way to do it. Next question. You got it.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Okay.
Hi, Dad.
Aunt Ginger, right? Jen's? Aunt Ginger or Jen? Yeah.
Yeah, it's Ginger from Texas. And JP, I will go ahead and get with my directors tomorrow and get things filled in for you. I have the resolution to the fundraising. Obviously, you guys aren't capitalized as a previous business broker and fundraiser. I would consider looking at this like a startup, looking for investors, angels, drafting a letter to them asking for the investment. I would ask Jan to send out a letter to all the members asking them for folks, relationships who they have. I think Ross Perot would be happy to invest in this endeavor. I'll be happy to do it as a startup business, and if you'll just get me the names, and then I can get with you guys, we can draft the letter and ask, and then get funded. You know, you can't do anything well without the funding. So that's my suggestion.
Amen to that. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to get Ross Perot, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, get a hold of Gary or Jan or one of the national leaders and get brainstorming on some ideas. And if they need me or Gerard, they'll call us in and we'll get involved too and to help put some information into whatever letter we can get that you can send out. And that would be really appreciated. And absolutely, if we get someone like that to back us, we wouldn't have any more problems, and goodness, you know.
We call them in business brokerage or funding any business, we call them angels, and I think they would be very appropriate for this. But here's what I need. I need you guys to email me with the names. I'm having difficulty getting returns on my emails, except Jan, thank you very much. You're always very... timely on that.
Well, if you got Jan's phone number, get on the phone with him, and Jan will work all of the mechanisms necessary to help you out to do whatever it is that you need to be done, and he'll get anybody else he needs to assist him, and we'll get all the manpower that's necessary to bring together whatever it is that you want in order to assist you to help us. So,
yes,
okay, so connect directly with Jan.
She has my number.
Okay, and I expect this to be done by next week. I don't want to be dragging our feet on this. It's fine.
That's appreciated. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Okay.
And we have a. Thank you very much. John, we have another funding plan we got to make and pull a trigger on here, and that's that solar power company that comes in and, you know, they.
We'll talk about that and see. Yeah. Let's talk about that during the weekend.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Oh, shoot.
What are you doing, Steve?
Oh, that's my goodness. There's no more people. We can go now.
All right, you got to get back into the Q&A.
Everybody get back
into
the
Q&A. Q&A.
That's just, and, you know, when you're playing.
Look at if Steve from Utah jumps in there, grab him and let's pull him first because he may have something interesting to tell us.
Okay, Steve from Utah. I see him. I'm gonna grab him. I'll unmute him down here in the box. Steve.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, I just shuffled the deck for you, but don't worry about it.
How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Writ of habeas corpus is working. I'm not in jail. Thank you, guys. So, I am, however, on probation according to them.
Right. We sent out the paperwork. I'm sure you got a copy of it, which I think was just filing a default. And now we're going to move. We kind of put everything on habeas corpuses on hold for the past week, I'd say, for going and following up on the next steps, because we wanted to get this paper out to the chief clerks and the chief judges. So we didn't have to make that battle on an individual level. We did it all in one shot, got it over with. Our next move for you, and I'm going to try to get the paper out this week before the weekend, is we're going to find them in contempt of court and give them opportunity to amend by releasing you 100%. And if they fail to do so, they know the next step is indictment. Now, that judge out there has already been personally, individually chosen for indictment by the grand jury. Hundreds of people came together, and we all agreed pretty much. If I recall, I think it was unanimous. If we had one or two rejections, possibly. I don't remember. But
yeah,
in any event.
His mother was in there. I'm only kidding.
But anyway. But we're coming out after them. They're going to either let you go or we're going to get them.
Okay.
So we're going to finish up the job we started.
All right. And I have been receiving the paperwork, but I haven't been doing anything. I think I'm pretty sure I'm the only person in Utah that is not allowed to file any documents in
right,
the court.
And we're going to fix that, of course, and you just stay in that way for right now. Don't get yourself in any trouble. And from this point forward, we need no other new activity from you or your girlfriend. We're going to take everything from this point 100%.
Look,
now that we have the default done.
You couldn't stop us if you wanted to, Steve. You just tell them that.
Yeah, you let them know. There's no
stopping. It's out of your hands. They've let this boulder go down the hill. And it's rolling now.
Let me just take this opportunity to make some notes here. For those who have been in and are actively moving through the habeas corpus, and we've already filed the habeas corpus, and we're going through processes, and it is running a little slow, bear in mind, you know, we're working a program and a process, and it's sort of, this is the beginning of it. And we're realizing we have to do other things before we do the next thing. So that's why it's a little slow. But once we get things in gear, and I think we're right now we're in gear, because this last paper, in about 3 days, we're opening back up and going forward full bore, and I don't see anything holding us back anymore. So things will be going quicker. We file a habeas corpus, they got 7 days after, you know, well, they got their 3 days to do what they got to do. And then, of course, we find a default. Once they get the default, they got 7 days from the time they receive the default to respond and, you know, let the people go free and just get out of the way. If they don't do that, then after 7 days, we then move into a contempt of court with opportunity to amend. That's the second part of the process. We give them, again, another 7 days, maybe 8 days. I know we recorded the plan, but I don't remember exactly. But we give them 7 or 8 days. If they don't respond from that point, we've already sent in the papers to the chief judge and the chief clerk, and we've also notified the clerks to make sure that they notify all the other judges working underneath and all the clerks working underneath them of what we have already said that we're coming out to indict, you know. So the next step is probably going to be indictment. And once we go through the indictment, that's when the battle really engages. And so that's where we're heading.
Look, at the chief judges, the judges up on the federal level, are teaching us where to tweak our papers, because when we see a pattern with them, then we know that that's their ploy and we attack it. That's what this paper's about. So we're constantly adjusting our strategy, you know, and it does depend on sometimes what they send back, you know. So that's a process that, you know, that takes time and consideration and much thought so that we get the right words out. So anyway, that's what developed this very powerful paper that we just put out, was them playing their games. You know, we have chief justices up there that think that, you know, things don't run the way they're supposed to, you know what I mean? And they're throwing smoke and mirrors, and they know what they're doing, and they're trying to muddy the waters, hoping that we're too stupid to pull him on the carpet. It's like, you know, it's like the little wise guy, you know, and you tell him not to do something, he's going to sneak in anyway, and you catch him, you know, and you got to spank him anyway.
Yeah, and right now we're going through the tweaking of the process, and like I said, I think we're very close to the completion of that, so all of the people up front are really suffering the long wait between one process to another. I mean, even our calling the sheriffs, you know, there are things that have to be done before we call a sheriff, and we need to make sure that they got the memos, make sure that they've been up to date on the papers, they need to make sure that they got a copy of this paper, and then now the phones will be open to call the sheriffs, and we got a bunch of sheriffs to call in different counties for people who have got habeas corpuses in process, and we need to start informing them of their duties and their responsibility, and they need to do one of two things, either obey the law or resign, because that's where it ends up, and we really don't want to see you resign, sheriff. We really want you to see you do your job, and we want to help you in any way we can, and we'll teach you, we'll train you. Or you can get your training and teaching somewhere else. Go open the Constitution, read it, and struggle through it. Or ask us. Come into our civics course. You know, we're going to give them everything they need. Read our memos. We're educating through our memos. Read our court papers. We're educating through the court papers. You know, one of the things we learned very, very strong and dearly from Bill Thornton is to not only write papers, but educate the people. Explain to them what you're doing. Give them the details. Let them know the authorities. Give them everything. And that's what we're doing. They have no excuse because everything is there. All they got to do is read it. That's all. Look, we read it and we understand it, and none of us are lawyers. None of us have college educations in these areas or anything like that. The people understand it. Once they realize that there's a problem and they start looking, they can understand it too. And they have a duty to look and to understand.
Hey, John and Gerard, I really appreciate the show tonight, the call tonight. I have felt the spirit in your words, John. And Gerard, in order for me to stay out of trouble, another question I have is, after I assembled the people in a county, Millard County, Utah, to have our election we voted on whether or not we wanted to have a common law grand jury.
Right, to reinstate it or whatever, right.
Yeah. After I did that, my van was searched without a warrant. They found my Native American medicine, marijuana, and my peace pipes and my medicine man credentials after they searched my van without a warrant. So I sent you the paperwork on this a while back. This was prior to the FBI entrapment.
Right.
But I'm now seeing that this was all apart, all kind of tied in together. If I were to send you $100 money order tomorrow, would I be able to get a writ of habeas corpus by the 9th of December? Is that too... Would that be pushing it?
Well, you know, again, you know, we don't charge for it, but we do look for donations. So it is a donation if you can afford it. If you can't, we'll do it anyway. But, yeah, if you get your paperwork, and I think you know pretty much what you need, you know, get a hold of Linda. You can get her usually by calling me on Skype. And in my, I don't answer my phones often because they roll over to Linda, and Linda takes care of it. And if it's necessary for me to talk to someone, she'll pull me in. So she's the National Liberty Alliance secretary. But, yeah, if you go out and just fill out the paperwork that's on where the help guy is, and you've already done this, or shall I say your girlfriend did this for you, just get the basic information we need, fill it out, and get it in. If you can get it in before the end of this week, it's a possibility we can get it done the following week. I mean, we'll jump on top of this one for you because we know that they're really trying to get you out there. But we're working from the other end. We're moving towards contempt of court, and now that's going to go out this week, and that may rattle their cage a little bit.
Let me ask you something. Is that the same county or that you were in Utah? Right, what the other charges?
Are they coming at you at a state level or federal level?
That's what I. Yeah.
Okay. This is. It's now been appealed. They accepted my appeal up to the state level, and I gave the judge a brand new judge, and I don't think she realizes why she's got selected to be the new judge of Mildred County is because. After I was arrested with the on the marijuana stuff, I sent the writ of quoanto and the writ of mandamus to two other judges, and they have since retired. Now they brought in Jennifer A. Brown, and I think she now is realizing why she's got this chief judge position in Millard County, 4th District Court in the state, is because. I did send her the writ of quoanto and the writ of mandamus, and I was in front of her a few weeks ago, and I asked her if she got the letter the people sent to her, and she said, "Oh, which one?" And I said, "Well, the writ of quoanto and the writ of mandamus," and she said, "Oh, yes, that one." I said, "Well, what'd you think of that?" And she says, "Well, I sent it to the administrative office of the court." And so she now probably is quite aware of why Judge Brady took early retirement.
Right.
Well, those are the kind of things we are hearing, you know, a little here and a little there. So this is, again, we're rattling their cage. They know we have power. They know we have authority. They know their authority depends upon us.
So you didn't answer. Are you in a state court? Discharges, are they state
or federal
charges?
Yeah, it's at the state level now.
Was it town court, village court, county court, state court?
This is the 4th district with the state in Millard County. Now,
Utah is very tough on marijuana, aren't they?
Yeah.
Comparatively speaking, yes.
So I was sentenced in the Delta Justice Court it was $1,260. They took my driver's license away and then 60 days in jail. So I appealed it. So I don't want to do that 60 days in jail. I already sense where her approach is that, well, we're just going to steamroll right over this guy.
How does their order that you're not allowed to file papers enter this case?
I can file in this case.
In this case,
in this case only because it was pending. The judge said that. The federal judge said that I can file in this Millard County thing because it's already ongoing and I've been representing myself so far. But I just have a feeling they're going to go by these statutes.
Absolutely. So the best thing for you to do is to habeas corpus out. That's really going to get in their craw big time. But really, that's the answer for you. I mean, unless you want to do 2 months in their jail, you know?
That I do not want to do. So I'm going to get a mail order out to you, a donation coming tomorrow with my paperwork. So thank you very much.
Make sure you fill out the paperwork online, though. Just go into the unhappy face on the right side holding the help sign. Click on that. Choose the appropriate kind of a court or system, the problem that you're in. There's an intake form. Fill that out. Do your sworn affidavit. Get a hold of the docket. And then get that information ASAP to Linda@NationalLibertyAlliance.org or intake at national. Send them to both. Send it to intake@NationalLibertyAlliance.org and also send it to Linda. I'll let Linda know to keep an eye open for it. And if we get all those papers together, we'll push it right through and we'll try to get it out. I don't know how fast you can get it. I don't think it'll happen this week. But it definitely could happen by next week. We can get the papers out, do a habeas corpus, and even get to the default, because they're going to default before the 9th comes up, depending on how fast you move, okay? Because we are ready to move on these things, and we're moving pretty quickly, you know, now to some degree. The gates are going to open back up this week, and we're going to be pushing paper, a lot of paper.
All right. Thank you very much. Talk to you later. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Okay.
Our next question is Julie from Montana. You've been unmuted.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question about the files that we're doing. Montana has three things listed on there. And
Oh, you mean on the information that's missing on JP's page? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, the JP page, yeah.
Okay, JP page, Montana.
It says that we're missing three things. I took care of the mayors. We got that done this weekend. But it's talking about administrative clerks, and none of us know what that is.
Administrative clerks?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know either. It's the chief clerk administrative clerks, not judicial.
Yeah.
So administrative clerks, not judicial. I don't know. Well, first of all, the county clerk is an administrative clerk, and they take everything from you, and they go and they feed it to the court. So I know they're gonna want the county clerk's information. As a matter of fact, it says county administrative clerks. So that's not the chief clerk of the court. That's the county, which is actually a very much more powerful position. That's the clerk that's going to give you a default when you go in, you file paperwork, and then somebody defaults and you come back. And you don't need to go to the court clerk. You go to the county clerk. County clerk took the papers in to begin with. Nobody answers. They see that. You go in with your default. The county clerk gives it to you. So that's what they're looking for. The county clerk.
But it says not judicial.
Right, non judicial, because every county has a county clerk, but they also, the court has a chief court clerk, and each judge has his clerk. You know, there's all these clerks in the court, and they're judicial, and they work for the judge, and they work for the court. This county clerk is an elected official. The judicial clerks are appointed by the judges, and they do the work in the court. And the chief clerk also, they take oaths, but they're appointed by the judges. This clerk that we want is the elected clerk for the county, and they do touch the court, but they have more powers than that. They take all the filings in the county, everything, not just,
you know.
So that
sounds like what we call a clerk and recorder.
Yeah, because they do record, you know, they might separate those jobs, but technically the county clerk, the elected official, their job is to record those legal documents in the county. That's one of their jobs anyway. Okay? But that's the clerk we're looking for, not the court clerk, not the chief court clerk, none of the court clerks, actually. We want the elected one. Those other ones are all appointed.
Okay.
And they're specifically for the court, where the county clerk gets involved in many other areas out there. You know what I mean?
Like foreclosure.
Yeah, foreclosures, and if you're gonna declare your place a homestead, that you take it to that clerk, and they decide what file does it get filed in, miscellaneous, does it get filed with no cover page, all that stuff. That's that clerk's job. That's not a court clerk.
Okay.
But if you're gonna do a court case, you still go there and pay that clerk, and they stamp it, and they take it, and then they send it over to the court, and of course, then it goes to whatever judge it's supposed to, whatever clerk it's supposed to. So they do touch, and they do merge duties, kind of, sort of, but not really. So you want the elected county clerk is what you want. Okay?
Right.
I hope that helps.
Okay. And then the other one that was in question for Montana is the state representatives. It says that that's missing. And we have all the House on there. The House.
Let's
we
see.
Have two files for the House, and those are the representatives, I believe.
State representatives, you got senators, and the other one would be congressmen, I guess, state congressmen, right?
We got senators.
Yeah, you got senators, but then your state representatives, you have so many congressmen per state. Now, I don't know if we're going down. I don't think we're going down into the legislative. You have so many legislators in an area. But this is, I believe this is mainly the congressmen.
Yeah,
and actually the governor's a state representative too, but I don't know. I think we got a special.
We have a separate.
Yeah, for governors.
Yeah, for governors.
Right.
So we've got the Montana House home and the Montana Senate home. And the Montana House Helena. Yeah, so that should be the Senate and the House should be all of them, I believe.
I would think.
They're saying that that we're missing that, and I don't think we are, but it might be called something different so that it's confusing.
Right.
So we call it the representative of the House. So I just thought, and there's instances where we can't get emails or faxes, one or the other, for certain places.
Right, we understand that. That was part of the conversation.
Yeah.
You won't always get, you know, it's hard to get faxes for some of these people. They're all communicating by emails. So,
well, we're actually doing better with faxes than we are with emails in Montana.
Right. Okay, so it's a lot, you know, it's one or the other, but.
Right. Okay.
So
I thought maybe some of the other states are struggling with.
Yeah, and I mean, they also call the assembly, the Senate and the assembly, you know what I mean? I mean, it's different states call them different, you know, have different titles for them, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think that we're okay with the representatives. I think I'm going to have to check on the clerks now because...
Yeah, just give JP a call. He's he knows more what he wants than I do. I mean, I'm looking at his nicely colored chart. That's nice, you know.
Yeah. Kind of
bring you right into what he needs. Okay.
Where do we go to find his phone number on the website?
JP? What's JP under? I don't never look for him on the website because I have him on my Skype.
Yeah.
Hang on. JP, well, if you go to committees, right, he's in, I hit the wrong button. I got Netflix up here. Excuse me. This stupid computer. That's the elected official.
I've got a number for him, Gerard.
You got a number, a phone number?
By the way, the computer isn't stupid. It's the guy pushing the buttons.
I got too many windows open because I got to go in between for reference. But anyway, JP's number, can you yell it out there?
Yep, it's 530-888-7151.
You got that? 530. You got it? Okay, good. You're welcome. Give him a call, and I'm sure he'll straighten you out as far as, you know, what exactly he's looking for in that particular state, what they call it. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
I yield.
Thank you. That was Julie from Montana. California, Roxy, you've been unmuted.
Hi, Roxy, Orange County, California. First, I'm just going to say thanks, John and Gary. Really amazing stuff that you've done and you're doing. And I think it's really, I would suggest and ask if all of the stuff that you're doing, besides, you know, I think it is all the things you mentioned, Gary, making it viral on YouTube and sending it to the newspapers, if it could be on the website as well so we know the documents. And I think you even said that. We would love that.
Just to let you know, it's not Gary, it's Gerard. But go right ahead, Roxy.
Oh, Gerard. Okay, I don't know voices yet. So I apologize. I'm learning. but, yeah, so what Gerard was saying, I think if we could even see everything that's being done, I think that's terrific. And I do think going viral on YouTube is going to be a big part of the success of NLA, because I actually, when you were saying, John, that, you know, there's about, well, I think there's 4,600, it says, on the NLA site. But even if there's 4,600, which I found there's only, when I called Orange County members, of the nine, there were five that were not in service. So, you know, maybe there's 2,000, whatever, but that's still minuscule compared to the 300-plus million population. So I think the more we can get it to go viral, the sooner, the better, because we do need people. Another thing is, I do not think, as an international trainer, facilitator, and consultant, I don't think that most government people really do comprehend. And from what I've learned of the learning curve and all the studies I've done as far as how people learn, it takes people three times minimally, up to seven times, to hear something, to be able to truly understand it, and to integrate it as to the place where they actually know it, not just kind of understand it. So I just wanted to give you all that feedback. Also, Steve, please call me, 949-878-7100. We need to speak to you, 949-878-7100. Anybody else, too? I'm new here, about 2 weeks old on NLA. There's a fuzzy sound sometimes with JP and also with Nathan when they spoke, and I don't know if that was just my phone, but it was difficult to understand them. I have some information for JP. While JP was speaking, I did go ahead and research for the Attorney General's, and I sent him the link so that he could actually go and get the names of all of those. But the thing is, and then I sent him another link for some other information for the Attorney General for California. But I went to then the site, the NLA site, and I would suggest putting the email and the directions of how to get to the information. I would do an individual email to every member of NLA to get the information that is needed. But the other thing is the chart. When I went to the NLA site and saw the list that JP did, I couldn't understand what he actually needs. For California, there's one thing, state clerk and state, I'm not in front of the computer now because the coffee shop closed, so I had to, run out of the coffee shop. But I don't know what's really needed for California. There's one thing, and I can't tell by the chart. So I think it would be, somehow it needs to be a little clearer. Maybe it could even be put in writing, because it doesn't look like by the chart there's much needed. Most look as if they've all been completed. But yet he was saying he needs a lot of things. So there is also a fellow in Riverside. His name is Ron. He helps Linda, and he knows how to research really well. The reason I went and started to try to find answers, like an overall list of everybody, whether it's sheriff or FBI or district attorney, is because he says it's very, very simple to find when you know how to research. So that's what I tried to do to help JP. I don't know if he's on here still. But if those didn't help him, tell him to call me, and I'll give him Ron's info, or you guys can. And Ron knows how to find things, like in 5 seconds, he can get the name or the address or whatever of everybody, a whole list of everybody. And so it's oftentimes just a matter of knowing how to research. Also, an idea about the new committees, I know you say a lot of times. Guys, I think we would be better not to do new committees. From an organizational, I've been an organizing consultant for over 45 years, and professionally even, and I would say the best thing to do would not be to disperse the energy so greatly, but like JP needs help, Linda needs help, or Gary or John or any of you who need help. I did put an email into Gary and John and Linda, and I don't know if you all got it, but it was a suggestion that there's one person listed on the website, and even sent an email, a separate email that you send to all of us would have a separate topic. Like the topic of that email would be, need your help, contact, you know, and I would say a National Volunteer Coordinator, an NVC. And then to have, you know, a state volunteer coordinator, which you have already state coordinators. But if you have a national one, that person can make a list of exactly what's needed. Maybe it's just for Gary and Gerard. I don't know who Gerard is. But then that whatever needs to be done, a person can call in and say, I have 5 hours. How can I help you? I'll have, you know, 2 days tomorrow, the next week. You know, who can I help? So send me stuff, either by project or time.
Well, just so you know, I spoke with Gary and I spoke with Jan concerning you, and I told them that we should try to get a meeting going and discuss some of your ideas and see once what we might be able to do. I mean, we're looking for people to help. We're looking for people who have a background to be able to assist us in different places, the people with the organization skills, management skills. I mean, we need all those skills. So they should be setting something up soon.
Well, I'm not. I'm trying to really focus to get my daughter out of jail, who has, you know, been 6 months now in jail, and I'm really worried because of the fact that any day now she could be moved for a 3-year sentence to the state hospital,
Did you put paperwork in for the habeas corpus?
I've put paperwork in. I've actually sent by snail mail. Linda asked me to send the minutes, but now she's told me to get them from the lost public defender that my daughter had. So I'm going to call her and ask her for the docket and the exhibit.
Yeah, that's the key. So, the key is the docket. And the docket, you should be able to get that from the – what kind of court is it? What court is it?
It's a superior court of –
Okay, you should be able to get that
county.
From the county clerk. And if you go down to the county clerk –
give it to me. They would not. I already went there a week ago, and they said they don't have what's ever on the computer, and they didn't show a docket. They showed minutes, and they said that's their docket.
Yeah. And, well, then we'll take the minutes.
Well, I did say that. I sent you the 8 pages of the minutes, and it has the names listed and, you know, everything. But it has also, I sent you a list of 7 confidential documents that are not listed that they refuse. The police report, the doctor's reports, because they're basically they've just saying she's incompetent and
that's what we need is those documents that they have produced against her, because those are the ones we used to hang them with. So those are the documents, and it sounds like you got everything you need. You also need, of course, a good affidavit, which is just telling the story. And if you got
got
that paper. And you got the intake form filled out.
I did all the intake.
We should be able to move on. Yeah, I'll talk with Linda next time. Probably tomorrow I'll be talking with her. So I'll talk with her about your case.
Perfect. Yeah, I sent her an updated affidavit after she said my affidavit was too short that I sent her. So I did a 3-pager.
I had a paragraph. You know, less is more usually, but
no, she said I didn't. Yeah. She said I didn't have enough. She wanted up to 3 pages, and I did end up taking 3 pages. I could have said more. But I appreciate that, because if there's anything, I don't have the name of the arresting officer, but how do you suggest I get the confidential documents?
Well, do you have the police report?
No, that's what I'm saying. The police report, the 3 doctors' reports about my daughter being competent or not. 1 said she's competent, 2 said she's not, and some other documents are all confidential. And there's a list of them.
They won't give you the name of the police officer. Okay,
no.
We'll do it, John Doe.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a real crazy time. I've been trying to get this information from the public defender for over 4 months, and she's refusing to get. First, she said she would give me the police report. Then she spoke to her supervisor, because they don't like me that I, you know, ask for too much, they say.
What police department arrested her?
Costa Mesa, I believe it would be, because that's where she was.
What is that, a city or a town?
It's a city. It's a town, I guess you'd call it. Costa Mesa, California. It's in Orange County, and it's a small little town.
The town police officer of that town, John Doe, and then we'll demand in the paper for that person to identify themselves.
Okay. Perfect.
As long as you have the address to the police department so that we can get the that police officer.
I have the police, the phone, the fax, everything. Yep. It's all in the intake papers. I'll go on, though, because I wanted to say a couple of other things to hopefully help. you know, after these calls, I know a lot of people aren't able to get onto these calls or may not be able to. Some won't. Whatever's going on, maybe there could be an overview of the call put on the website so people could just go and click on it at any time they wanted.
That's available. If you click on the Monday call on the top left side, you'll get the information to join the call. But underneath that is all of the calls we've had since our inception. We've had calls every single week. We've missed none.
Then you just hear it again.
So they can go back and they're all three-hour clips. They're quite long, but people can move around them and, you know, do whatever they want. You know, they can listen to the first hour and then jump ahead and skip around or whatever they want. But, you know, they have all week to listen to 3 hours, so that should be okay. You know?
Right, but I don't even think it would be a bad idea to do an overview of the call so that the meat of the call, which could take about 5 minutes, could actually be in a quick email to people. I'm just saying we want to get everybody educated, and sometimes people aren't going to want to go through 3 hours to find anything.
It's difficult, though. It's really difficult. If we had somebody who wanted to take on that job to do an overview, 5-minute overview or something, and wanted to give us that in writing, and we would post it as long as we had someone who wanted to do it and could do it.
Okay. You know? Well, for my daughter,
I couldn't do it, and there's a lot of other people who are really busy in a lot of things. And, you know, we make sure we do post the MP3, and of course we're here every Monday, and you know, we do the best we can.
What about putting a list on the website then of, you know, would like to have someone to do what calls to find. You know, even if it seems to me there has to be a simpler way than to go hit 5 or 6 buttons to find out what your state needs. Maybe there could just be.
We're trying to make things better. Oh. And look, at it's all about organizing, management, and people. We need people with management skills. And remember this: a lot of the people doing the work they're doing, you know, quite a bit of them have got no experience in management or in organizing. So they're kind of learning and they're fumbling around, and that's how you learn anyway.
I'm not trying to put anybody down at all. I'm actually just trying to put in tools to be helpful.
You're on point, and I'm just trying to let you know that, you know, we do have a lot of people that are learning. But, yeah, we do need people with experience so that they can train the people who are learning.
Well, it's not so much needing to be trained. It's actually just having the website be organized to the point where you can go on the NLA website, you can click help needed, and you can click that button. There's a whole list of what's needed. And anybody in NLA could go into it and put down what they need. So John could put, you could put, for example, need help with calling, or JP need someone to call it, you know.
Right.
What
we need, though, is someone who take that idea and give us a sketch and some kind of a block thing on paper, and then we can get it to Carl and others and try to see how we can do it, you know. But, you know, we have grown a lot, and there are things that we aren't as organized on our website as we'd like to be. It's something we're talking about, but, you know, we also want to be careful, and I know they're working on reorganizing, and we're working on a lot of new things with our website and on how to make it more efficient. I think we need a site map. We've talked about that. But it's a matter of finding the time, the people. You know, I've been very intimately involved in all parts of the website, and now some things are taken off without my knowledge, and that's a good thing because now we're starting to grow. So I got to get a little in touch with that. But, you know, we only have a couple of people that have the ability to really get in there and do anything, and their time is really valued, and they're working in life also to pay the bills and so on. So, you know, we're trying to do something. We do want to do a site map. We do want to try to organize a little better.
Then I would say, see, I'm not looking to have you respond with all this, John. I think it's great. I understand all this part that there's people just don't have time. But my thought would be then to send out an email to every member and say who is really great at websites, because we need to get our website, you know, up to par.
We
need to get
all
it
all the time. But we have a good group of people now. You know, again, and let me tell you, what you're talking about is the most sensitive part of what we're doing. I have been here in organizations where I've been in leadership role on national groups before in the past, where we took people on and we give people volunteers, and believe me, they ended up being the enemy, and you have no idea the damage they had done to us in those groups. So we're very, very careful on who we allow any access into certain areas in our website. I mean, they can blow out all kinds kinds of things on us. Now, it is true we have backups and so on and so forth, but we don't want to go through all that either. And we do have professionals who are in the background that we actually pay to do part of that work. But we have a guy, Carl, who's very highly educated in this area and is really working with us. He's given his time free. And he's done a tremendous amount of work, and he's doing all kinds of stuff in different areas to make things a lot easier for us to automate things. But he's also looking at the website, coming up with ideas. We possibly may even go beyond the software that we've been using to run our website, because I think we've outgrown what we've got, and we're getting ready, hopefully soon, to make a new step. But I don't know how far in the future that's going to be. If we had real serious funding, then we can literally hire a team and put them under the wing of Carl to run them, and then we'd be kind of working with them. But then we'd be able to really do some really big things. But again, it's all with money and time, and
Hey,
and then
Joe,
we have at the same time what we're really here for is the big battle. You know, go ahead, Rod.
Yeah.
Didn't we do a task tree? Remember, it was a tree, and Carl put in what he needed, and you're supposed to go in there if you see a task and put your name in, and then somebody who's
heading. Yeah, I don't know whether we ever initiated that, to be honest. You know, there are things going on, like I said, now that I don't know about.
I think
I get a little surprised. Oh, you guys done this? Wow, okay.
Yeah, I think, as a matter of fact, he mentioned it tonight. He said nobody's coming on the tree and taking up tasks.
Okay, who mentioned that?
Carl.
I didn't hear Carl. Carl was on?
Oh, not Carl. Who was on earlier that
That was Nathan.
I don't know.
What we need to do is
think next week, let's talk with Gary and then let's talk with Carl, and why don't we have Carl come in and talk about some of the things we're doing or thinking of doing or potentially doing and what kind of, what's happening, what's not happening with those kind of things.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
The only thing that I'm trying to say, too, is, that's great. I was dropped from this call 3 times, and I had to go, spend time to get back on and find the access code. So I don't know why I was dropped 3 times, but it's happened every time I've ever called in, to this call Monday
right.
or Wednesday.
Well, those would be quirks. No one would dare do that. That's on a leadership role, because we wouldn't tolerate that. But respect is key.
Saying anyone dropped me.
We expect all of our leadership to control their attitudes and be patient with people.
We have spotty internet problems. Sometimes you can't even dial in.
Yeah, that happens. It's rare for me,
It happens, and sometimes it's Skype, and sometimes it's the HD, the free conference call HD, which has been really good to us. But we do have problems, and if they get serious, we'll call up, and sometimes they'll actually fix a problem. Sometimes they actually have a problem, you know what I mean? So we found that. And I wanted to tell you, by the way, Roxy, if you pull that list up, and California is all done. There's only one white one, and that's under the state courts and clerks. And basically, they got nothing on that. That's all one, state courts and clerks.
So that would be Sacramento, you mean?
The whole state.
No, the whole state. There's none. There's 3,143 courts and clerks apparently in California, and they
there's no state courts in any of the counties listed.
Right.
And there's
143 of them. So if we have no information. File missing. See that color code? Like if it was
Yeah, that's what I saw, the one slip, but I wasn't understanding, so it's 3,143. My Orange County info and the clerk is all in my intake, by the way, on my intake.
Right, there's a disconnect there, though. But, yeah, we realize that the people have to get that information for the habeas corpus, but from coming into the habeas corpus and the amount of work with the people involved with that to process it and keep on top of it and track it and then go on to the next papers, and I'm involved with that myself, too. We're so focused on that we're not looking at delivering that information to anybody.
Yeah,
we're just not integrated well enough with that kind of stuff yet.
No,
but
I got you.
One day we will be, So.
Oh, I understand. Okay. Well, I'm focused to get done everything for my daughter first and foremost, and then my time will free up a bit. So I do want to say, too, one of the things I do wherever I go any day, whether I'm going to get something to eat or going to a store or I see someone and they say something to me, if someone smiles at me even walking by, I'll actually turn around and say, do you have any interest to hear about a website that I found that allows people to really understand and not to really comprehend their rights so that you really have freedom in the United States because it's been changing? And I give the NLA.org, .com, to probably at least 10 or 12 people every single day. And a lot of them, I give my own name and number, so if they have any questions and would like to, because people need a person. And it's very important.
Just make sure, though, that you give them the full name, National Liberty Alliance, because NLA, we tried to get that, and it's a group of lawyers that have that, National Lawyers Association.
I don't give NLA. I actually write it out for them.
Okay.
They write it out, or I write
NLA. NLA, we went looking for, and it belongs to National
Lawyers
Association. So
yeah, I know.
JP says all they need in California is the county clerks, not all of them. He just texted me. All they need is the county clerks.
County clerks. So 3,143 right. County clerks.
Right. County clerks, exactly.
Okay.
So he just texted me, and I'm passing it on. Okay.
Well, there's not that many counties in California, so there's one county clerk per county.
So maybe
exactly.
So it's probably 40, 50 counties, whatever California has.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay.
Right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Okay.
We have a total of 3,143 counties in all of America.
Okay.
So that's where that number probably came from.
All right. Next caller, Jan.
Jan in New Haven, God is love. Good stuff today, John and Gary. Gerard. There's an individual talking about the court observers. On the website, the court observers, we just have three individual names, but the contact information is not there for those people. The only contact information is there is the courtroom observers at nationallibertyalliance.org. We may want to put some contact information in for those people, maybe some emails or maybe some phone numbers, so that whoever gets on that page is able to duplicate or go after a send out to all three of them, because maybe some of the three may not be going into that courtroom observer's email to check.
I've had some snags,
but I'm pretty persistent.
What's with all that reverb? They're coming from you, Gerard.
No, I got a headset on, and I was muted when he was talking, so.
Okay.
No.
Hey, again, we need all the proper information to go to the proper people that need to, work this stuff out. And I know we got a couple of people running the courtroom observers group, so we're going to hold them accountable to make sure they get everything, done that needs to be done. And if they're not enough help, they need to look for some more help to make sure we get all of the work done.
What I'm saying is to put some contact information as to how do I get a hold of, for example, Mr. Robert Overhaul or Jeffrey Gaw or Laura.
All you got to do is go. Yeah, just hit the directory. All leadership is on a directory. All leadership.
Yes, under directories.
So that would be good to note on that website where they can find the contact information. Because when you just go to that
directory,
page.
That's why we called it the directory. The directory gives you everybody. And it also connects you right into the county organizers. Phone numbers for everybody. Every state coordinator, every county organizer, every national leader, every committee leader, chairman, everybody.
Yeah, but what he's saying is if you go on Court Watchers.
Oh, cool. I don't know about Court Watchers.
That's what he's
about. When you go on the Courtroom Observer, you go to committees. Go to Courtroom Observer Committees, you click on that, and you get the three people on there, but no contact. It says information and contacts, but no phone numbers. No, it should be right there.
We missed it. That's all. Right now, and I see that. Yeah, this is Gary's work. I can tell you right now. I'm looking at the pictures. Okay, look at. You know, one of the things that we need to do, yeah, we have the names of the people. We don't have their phone numbers. Their information, their phone numbers should be here. We'll have to get them up there. But also, there should be more detail, and I'm going to start pushing on this, is that the leadership of whatever group is we're talking about, in this case, the courtroom observers, they need to give us the 250-word page or 200 words or something like that, explaining and expressing who they are, what they're doing, and so on and so forth. So when people come to this page, they can understand what this is all about, and the leadership contact should be here. So that we're going to definitely work on.
Yeah, because going to the directory, there's people that come in, and they're lost. There's so much stuff, they're lost. But if they go to committees and they see the courtroom observers, oh, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah, but right. Then I can't contact them.
Well, you know, remember this. All websites are the same way. You know, unless you're spending time on the website, you'll not find your way around. We'll do the best we can to try to organize it a little more logically, maybe. But, you know, someone's logic is not necessarily someone else's logic. And I think the key here is a site map that we need to develop. But before we develop a site map, we did kind of do a generic one on a piece of paper, get an idea. But before we do that, we need to really, the site map we need to kind of put together to reorganize the site before we actually put up the site map. And so the next question comes is, where are we at this point in time moving to another different kind of software or what is our, you know, future plans here on where we're at? So yeah. I don't know.
Hey, we've done.
But we're working on it. We're working on it.
We've made some tremendous strides in the last 6 months, big time.
Oh yeah. So, hey, look at what we accomplished. We accomplished in what, a little over 2 years, 2.5 years. How long have we been doing this now, Gerard? Do you remember? I guess we can go. You know, we can go right out to the. We can go right out to the welcome, huh?
Our anniversary was April, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know. You can go. It may have been. I go out to the weekly call, and we can look to see when the first call came through. The first call was 12/11/19. So it was 2012, but that might have been committee man stuff, and then we changed over. I don't remember the time point. I think we have some time with committee man stuff, and then moved over to courtroom, you know, into the judicial side of things. Because there's two ways to take our nation back and bring things under control. One is through the political, and the other is through the judicial. The political is too big, too huge, and these people are Nazis, and we'll not get anywhere with them. So you have to take them to court, and since the courts are so corrupt and screwed up, we have to bring the courts into order. So that's what we're doing, bringing the courts into order. And believe me, once we get the courts into the order and we start to get into the courts and we take control by bringing justice, the king of the court, back into the court, then at that point the next move that we're going to be moving on is the political side of things, to bring it back and give it back to the people and restructure the committee man process throughout the whole United States, where the people actually take control and not the corporations.
John? If you go to the directory page, at the top of the page under committee group, you'll find courtroom observers group, co-director Laura, phone number, co-director Jeffrey, phone number. It's just when you have the two different clicks to get to that information, so there's two different tables, and one of them doesn't update when the other one updates.
Right. Yeah, that's what we have to fix, though. You know, what we need to do, though, is, again, all of these committees... on the committee label, okay, should have the leadership of that committee and any other necessary contacts on that page, as much as well as on the directory. And I do know that there isn't it's not integrated, and I don't think it can be really integrated. What the job of every committee leader is at this point, maybe you need to get the word out to these people, is to give us a 200-word I'll call it essay or whatever you want to call it, but 200 words of information that we're going to put up explaining who they are, what they're doing, and what assistance they're looking for, if necessary, for that too. And then the leadership information, contact information, that should be in. So they need to deliver that to us so that we can put that up on that page. And each committee page should have that info, okay? So let's maybe focus in on trying to accomplish that goal also.
Excuse me, where did Jan say that was at under the directory?
Under directory. If you go to directory and download the directory and you scan down, I think it's the second item on directory.
Yeah, it's committees.
Committees.
Directory.
And under committees, the first line is courtroom observers, and it gives the two people.
Under directory, there's courtroom observers.
Okay, we got 5 minutes left, so I don't know how many more people will be able to get in.
Well, we'll let it slide. In directory under court, where's the courtroom observers in the directory tab?
Yeah, it's on that page.
It's under committees.
And you'll find it there. Just go through it slowly. You'll see committees, and you'll see it's three or four committees down. And meanwhile, we'll get the other pages updated. But maybe we can get another call, and before we end, we've
got
5 minutes left. All right. Yeah, Gerard, we're not hearing a thing you're saying. You got to unmute yourself.
Thanks for that, John. I appreciate it. Tennessee's terrible. I just gave her a real big welcome, and she didn't hear it. Go ahead, Cheryl. You are unmuted.
Yes, sir. I'm not sure. I thought JP mentioned that Tennessee may have been lacking, but I want to say that Tennessee is active. All U.S. Marshals for Tennessee, all federal judges for Tennessee, and the U.S. Attorney Generals were submitted with their addresses, telephone numbers, and fax numbers. Some emails were given, some emails were not given out, and the courts, federal courts of all of Tennessee, were provided. And with that, I yield.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Cheryl.
Yeah. Okay, next question is Oklahoma Ed. Go ahead, Ed. You've been unmuted.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm actually going to pass on this one, make the next one go on, because Tanner and connected me up with Gina and Linda, so I'll be taking care of to be answering my question. I don't want to hold up.
Thank you. Massachusetts Mary, you are unmuted.
Hello, Gerard. Hello, John. It's Mary from the Liberty Beacon in Massachusetts. How are you? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Oh, good. How you doing? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, well, I've been out here. I've been on the Monday night calls, and I know it seems I just want to make a comment. I wrote Robert a little note this week because he nailed it last week when I first, last year or a little over a year ago when I first came in. I didn't quite know where to go, but I, as you guys know, I was also, it was a year for news, and I had just hooked up with Roger, and we have been, we're exploding.
Yeah, how's he doing on the TV there?
Oh, great. We're on CCN Network. He's got shows. We got a ton of people. We've got the American the Liberty the Freedom Project going. We've got a page for that. We're trying to get the heads of a lot of these groups together, put aside their differences, and a lot of these groups that are online, and they've got a huge project going on that. We've got 12 coordinators. They're going to be having a conference this year. And Roger's got things that are, he said, hopefully by January. He's working with some other people in regards of organization and funding, and we think that we're going to be able to blow this thing wide open even further. And we go out all over the world, you know. We've got pages everywhere. So, but anyways, I wanted to check in with you guys. I'll make it brief because I know it's the end of the night. I wanted to say hello, and I've missed you guys. I missed your voices. Robert nailed it last week because, like I said, last year I didn't quite know where I fit, and everybody kind of feels like, well, where are my skills? And people had suggested, well, maybe I should do media and this and that. And I will find my committee. I will. I'm just so busy doing this stuff. You know how busy we are. We're so short-staffed for the amount of work that we need to do. But there's basically three or four of us that are posting every day on the flagship page, the three of us that are, like, really there every day. So the other thing is I mentioned you in an article today about police misconduct. I mention you whenever I can, and I say, you know, if you want to get involved, people, and you feel helpless, you need to join us in America. You need to join this group, And if you want to make a difference, and it was about police brutality, and, you know, they're getting away with it. And I said, you got to call. You know, you got to get on his website now. And so I do. I plug when I can, and now my articles. I will talk to Roger, the new paper. Do you want me to get it out? Do you want me to automatically, when you get a new paper, do you want me to get it out there?
Oh, yeah. Well, however, whatever you can do, we appreciate it. I know it's been a while since I spoke with Roger. Last time I spoke with him, he said that he wanted to try to get back with us in a few weeks and possibly get us onto his TV show. And but I guess he got busy, and believe me, we're busy, and you know, we have so much to do. We haven't got a moment to spare, but I know he's the same way. But we'll connect.
We are. We're the same way. So I wanted to let you know that I finally, what I decided to do is that I said, okay, well, things are going to go. They're never going to get not busy. So I said I started the civics course, and I'm rolling through that. So I think I'm about two thirds through that, because I definitely want to get more involved. But I really felt like, you know, I wanted the civics course first, and it is wonderful. That course is wonderful, by the way. The way you guys set it up, it's great. I do think I found a mistake on one page, but I'll let you know about that later. there was a definite mistake, and I stood there, and I kept hitting it. And I finally said, okay, well, I'll reverse it, even though I disagree with it, because I know I listened to it 500 times, and they let me through. And it was fascism as opposed to something, and I think it's wrong. So anyways... The other thing I just wanted to know really quickly, and
if you get a chance, maybe you can just drop a note to Catherine, okay?
Okay.
If you go to civics course, just highlight civics course, and let's see reports. I think you got to click on before you begin a civics course. Help with the course. You click there. And you'll be able to just send an email to Catherine and just tell her approximately where it is and what the question, what the answer should be and what it is, and she can correct it.
Yeah, because it confused me, because I know I was right, because I kept going through the tape, and I'm like, this answer's reversed. So, but everything else has been right on, and it's set up wonderfully, and I'm learning, I'm getting a lot from it, you know. I don't want to rush through it. I don't, because I want to get the full part of it.
Yeah, the course was put together really as a primer for what we're doing and for what people need to know. I mean, look at American history, common law, the court process. You got how we got here, you know, with all of the documentaries we've got going there. We've got American history.
Right.
And it's just a nice big overall, you know, sort of information
great.
On and everything. So you're kind of a little grounded and ready to jump into what we're doing, you know?
Well, that's why I felt like I finally, you know, so much time was going by, and I said, well, the least I can do is chip away at it in between, like at night if I start an article, you know, I'll do one little section, you know what I mean? So I'm chipping away at it. I just wanted to let you know I'm out here, and I, you know me, my radar goes up, and I not in the past called you guys when something is really not cool. And you and I have talked about it, John, Gerard, Robert. I was researching the Sanctuary City situation because what we've got, what we've said, you know, the whole Paris thing and everything. We know they're coming in. I was researching this Sanctuary City. I've been following the fact that the federal courts have ruled against Obama, and he keeps trying to pounce on them. And these sanctuary cities are completely lawless. They are nothing but paid cities, paybacks, okay? The police are not allowed to talk to prosecute or to question anybody that's illegal. They're not allowed to, employers, they're not allowed to, nobody can do anything with this, okay? And we've got a ton of these people coming. And I didn't know how you guys felt about it, but this is going to wreak havoc in America. That could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Because we see what's happening in Europe. You know, Sweden is now the rape capital of the world. 1 in 4 women are being raped there right now. Women in Germany, the people in Germany are crying. This place is on fire. I just want to know, I'd be willing to do the research, willing to work with someone, team up with some people. I don't know. Maybe you want to do a phone call or something at some point or another, but this is a serious issue, just like the Agenda 21 issues. And this is something that we had one gal on the show, Roger had her on this week. She was the head of the 3 percenters in California, Sacramento County. and she was running a big rally out there. There are a few states that stepped up, but we cannot rely on Congress. We cannot rely on them. This is obvious. We cannot rely. Our government's been hijacked. We can't do it. So, you know, we've got to, state by state, you know, put something together. We could stop this because he's completely disregarding the federal
court. Agreed. Look, at the administration is so out of control that we haven't even sent any papers to them. We've sent to all the elected officials, but there's no sense to send anything to the administration. They only flag us anyway, but look,
right.
They're not going to listen to nothing because the entire administration is anti-American. It's that simple.
Yeah.
You can't,
exactly.
And just look to see what they're doing. Can't make it any clearer. Everything they're doing is illegal, unconstitutional. They have no authority to do it, and the day is coming, and we're going to fix it. But, you know, the people have to do it. Only the people can do it. Only the people can save America. They got to get up. They got to educate themselves. They got to be counted. And they need to take the courts back, and then we'll take our entire nation back. And it'll happen. Look, once we get the courts back, it's going to happen so quick, you're just not going to believe how fast America's going to change.
Okay.
Because whoever controls the courts controls America, and right now the big corporation controls the courts. But they control it under fear and ignorance and miseducation through the Bar Association. But we got a fire going there now. And believe me, the stress and the pressure is upon these people, and they're going to break soon. It's only a matter of time, and a lot of them are jumping ship. They're excusing themselves for being in the court here or there in this case or that case, and they're nervous, and rightly so. They better be nervous. They're dumb if they don't know enough to be nervous.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, Mary.
But we are at the end of our show, yes, program.
Mary, I just want to say that you have our permission to post any new paper we put up anytime, anywhere you want, and everywhere, especially this next one that went out. I'm just saying, you don't have to ask. If we put it up there and you think you can get it out any way you can, you have our permission.
You got it.
Everything
we post is to be done whatever they want freely.
That's right.
Given freely, you know, we give out.
This next one is so good, you go read it, and it should go viral. You know what I mean?
I've got somebody helping me share because I actually get flagged. It's the second time this has happened to me. I'm in the doghouse of Facebook because posting about the Bar Association and posting about Liberty. I think I really got them on the illegal immigration. You just don't. Obama's really strong on this. This is his number one thing because he knows it will collapse us.
Look, ever get a chance, go on YouTube and put in immigration gumballs. It's about 12-year-old video. Really graphic, where this guy takes gumballs and starts dumping them into different container. Those gumballs representing people and immigrants and what happens to those people and how many of them there are. And it doesn't matter how many millions you take into your country, you cannot alleviate the problem by letting them come in. The only way you can alleviate their problems is in their country by supporting them and teaching them and giving them technology, but you cannot. He shows you, it doesn't matter if you take 12 million a day in. Look, there's billions and billions.
We know
that.
And I will watch that. But we
and
know
with that, we're going to have to go.
Designed to eradicate our people here, our culture. We know that. It's happening in Europe.
Okay.
So I'll let you guys go. I know what's the end of
your
life. This is something we should think about because the people who are taking the money, the police that are supposed to be, that are looking, are getting paid to look the other way. I didn't know if you wanted to address that because this is huge. This could be a deal breaker here, you know. So I just wanted to bring it up.
Give us a call and let's talk about it, or call us back up a little earlier next Monday and let's talk some more on those things and you know, let's do something.
Yeah,
okay?
If you want to. I can give you a call or talk to Robert.
Yeah, give me a call during the week, and you know, and if you get through to Linda, just tell Linda that I did want to talk with you, and she can connect you. She should be able to connect me to you or find me, and I'll get back to you or something. Okay.
Okay, that sounds great. Thanks, John. Thanks, everybody. It was good to talk to you. I'll plug away at my course, and it's a good base because then I'll be able to get myself situated somewhere in the future. There's no turning back now. Okay.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, have a good night, everyone.
You too. Okay, we're going to end our program for the night. Appreciate everyone coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And also don't forget that, you know, we have the Sunday program at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Meet the King. We're doing a harmony study of the Gospels. And also we have Tuesday night and Wednesday night. So, well, I think we're canceling out Wednesday night and really just getting more into activity. So I'm not sure exactly what they concluded on that. But anyway, we'll see you then. Good night.
Stages in darkness and clear. We're raising the curtain, and no one's quite certain whose play it is. If only we had listened then. If we'd known just how right we were going to be. For we dreamed a lot, and we schemed a lot, and we tried to sing of love before the stage fell apart. Thank you.